Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasingame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Bench Bureau Show. When it comes to the college protesters roiling America's campuses and roiling America more generally, it's time for Americans and particularly their political class to pick a side. There are only two sides to this particular argument. There's one side that despises America and despises the West, and there's one side that really likes America and likes the West. And that binary decision is really not particularly tough, and you can see it happening on college campuses all over America. So I want to show you two clips right now, and you get to pick which side you think the American president ought to stand on and which side you think the American people ought to stand on. So here is the first clip. The first clip is a UCLA protest spokesperson. UCLA is experiencing massive protests. They've occupied the center of campus, all the places where I used to walk to class. My wife used to walk to class. They've now occupied those. They're all wearing masks to hide their faces because they're not getting COVID outside. But this is the new uniform of the non-proletariat, the bourgeois revolution, the upper class to upper middle class young people who are incredibly privileged and are going to pose as somehow victims of Western society. The uniform is keffiyeh and COVID mask, which pretty much says it all. Here was the UCLA protest spokesperson explaining that the University of California is founded on colonialism and is a violent institution.
It's more than divestment as well. I think given the fact that the University of California is founded on colonialism, it's inherently a violent institution. There needs to be an addressment of U.S. imperialism and its ties to the UC system and how it perpetuates war and violence abroad. Not only abroad, but also here, locally.
Okay, understand what they are saying here. What they are saying here, the case they are making, is that the United States is bad. When they say that the University of California is founded on colonialism, what they really mean is that the United States is founded on colonialism and imperialism and exploitation and rape of the native peoples and all the rest of this garbage. That's what they mean. They mean the United States is bad. When they say that what's happening in Gaza is connected to this, what they really mean is just there is a coalition of people who are pseudo-oppressed, who are losers in life, who have now decided that the American system, the Western system, meritocracy, are bad. Anybody who is successful in the system has designed the system for their own benefit. This is the intersectional conspiracy theory taken to the nth degree. And what it really means is people who are the most privileged people in human history, sitting on a beautiful campus at the University of California, the most beautiful time of year, outdoors, enjoying their lives on the public dime, because tuition is subsidized at UCLA by the state. It's a state school that taxpayers are paying for. And now Joe Biden wants to relieve the rest of these people's student loans. That these people believe that they are the victims of American society, or at least they are standing in solidarity with the victims of American society. The complaint is not about Israel. You didn't even hear the word Israel once in that statement. The complaint is about the United States. So that's one side. They hate America. They burn the flag. They take it down. They put up the Palestinian flag because the Palestinian flag has become the rallying point and tip of the spear in favor of this perverse view of the universe. As I've said before, the reason that this has happened is because movements, revolutionary movements, need to show skin in the game. The way that they show skin in the game is they pick literally the worst victims, the people who are least sympathetic, and declare that they have sympathy for those people. That those people are actually victims. It is why the Black Lives Matter movement was founded originally around the death of Michael Brown, who tried to shoot a police officer before he was killed by a police officer. Because if you could declare your fealty to a false narrative about Michael Brown, suggesting that he died at the hands of American white supremacy, well, then you could sell those people anything. And the same thing is true with regard to the Palestinian cause. The Palestinians are a perfect example of a group of people who have elected terrorists, who are sympathetic to terrorists, who support terrorism, who hate Jews, who hate America, and who have made their own bed. They've been offered everything, and they've taken nothing. They've decided they're not going to take any deal, over and over and over and over. Every dollar that has gone into Gaza has been used to build up a terror epicenter. And these people declare solidarity because, again, if you can declare solidarity with people who are obviously not victims and declare that they are, in fact, the victims of Western imperialism, well, then you can declare about virtually anything. That is why the keffiyeh and the Palestinian flag are a substitute for the American flag. That film that we saw from earlier this week over at City University of New York, where people took down the American flag and put up the Palestinian flag. There's a reason why Queers for Palestine is a thing, why you're seeing combined Palestinian and Pride Progress flags, despite the fact that these are mutually exclusive in practice. That's side A. And you can pick side A, but I can tell you those people don't love America. And then there is side B, and that is the protesters at the University of Mississippi, the frat boys who showed up to sing the Star Spangled Banner at all of these people who hate the United States. Here is a clip of that. Okay, so those are your choices. You can side with the frat boys at UNC, who actually tried to prevent the American flag from being brought down. You can side with people like my friend Ami Horowitz, who went to a protest at City University of New York with American flag and got beat up for the privilege. You can side with the statue of George Washington or with the people who defaced the statue of George Washington. But you do, in fact, have to pick a side. And if you pick the side that hates America, you should be held accountable politically and otherwise for it. It turns out that you should, in fact, love this country. It is an amazing country. It is the greatest country in the history of mankind. And if you don't, then there should, in fact, be some public opprobrium for you. Doesn't mean you don't have a right to say these things. You do have the absolute right to say whatever dumb thing you want to say. It's the United States of America. That does not mean that people have to look at you as though you are anything but a moral idiot. And these people are moral idiots. So let's talk a little bit about the coalition of moral idiots. Who is behind them? What exactly they are calling for? So over at UCLA, again, many of these protesters don't even know what they're talking about. And the vast majority of protesters who are talking about Gaza and Israel have no idea where Israel is on a map, have no idea where Gaza is on a map, have no idea what the river is or what the sea is or anything like this. But here's one of the more on UCLA protest leaders talking about globalizing the Intifada. Again, the Intifada means it literally means a violent uprising, including mass murder of Jews. That is what Intifada is. These people want to globalize the Intifada because what they believe is that the privileged classes, meaning predominantly white Christian males, but also including Jews, also including successful Asians, that those people are, in fact, the victimizers, and they must be brought low by everything up to and including violent Intifada. Here we go. Now, you can say this is all virtue signaling nonsense, and these are a bunch of idiots. And that's true, they are a bunch of idiots. In fact, how stupid are many of these people? Again, these are highly educated morons. And there's a reason a lot of these universities did away with the SATs. I promise you, a lot of these protesters didn't do amazing on the SATs. Let me just give you a piece of taped example of how stupid these protesters are. Here are some of these protesters at an American college campus trying to charge the cops using pieces of cutout plastic garbage cans. It doesn't go amazing for them.
Seriously, they were looking at police officers, particularly black police officers, and accusing them of being the KKK.
Look at these tool bags. Top bench press level, 75 pounds twice.
On your screen right now. Did you see the guy run underneath?
And then, look at this more. He charges the cop, and the cop just, like, pushes him over.
What kind of instruction are they getting?
Pathetic class of losers. Pathetic class. So you can't side with those people. These are also the great environmentalists, by the way. So UCLA's encampment was cleared. And here's what it looked like afterward, the UCLA encampment afterward. These are people who love the environment. That's beautiful. Look at that. Look at how they left the lawn in front of a Pell Library.
Have gone through here and forced the pro-Palestinian demonstrators.
Their sad little Hamas homeless camp. Oh. But look how they left it.
100 people.
They love the environment. They love it. That 200 people were, in fact, arrested at UCLA. What I love is that they tried to create barriers with, like, plywood and zip ties. Honest to God, these people wouldn't survive 5 minutes in an actual zombie apocalypse. Amazing, amazing stuff. But the question really is, who's behind all of this, right? And the answer is pretty obvious. The administrators and the faculty. The administrators and the faculty. And outside agitating groups, some of whom are funded by actual terror supporters. So, speaking of the administration and the faculty, again, as I mentioned yesterday, this is an inside-outside game. The administration and faculty at many, if not most, of America's colleges and universities are on the side of the people who despise the country. They are openly on their side. The New York Times has an entire piece called Taking Cues from Students, UCLA Faculty Members Join the Protests. At UCLA, a few professors helped negotiate with the university. At Columbia, they guarded the encampment. But not all faculty members are on board. In the dark hours of Thursday morning, as the police cracked down on the protests, faculty members were linking arms with students, allowing themselves to be arrested. It was one of the clearest instances of a little-noted fact of the student demonstrations against the war in Gaza. And a small fraction of faculty members at UCLA, Columbia, and other universities have provided logistical and emotional support to the protesters. And now, here's the thing about this. It is not a small percentage. Because, as it turns out, the administration is perfectly willing to allow the corruption of their own universities. Over at Columbia University, as David Bernstein is reporting, one Columbia professor told his own students, in honor of the protesters, I'm not going to give you guys finals. You all just got an A for the course. Meanwhile, at Rutgers, the Rutgers administration has now surrendered to the protesters, saying that they will allow them a hearing on whether the university ought to divest from companies that invest in the state of Israel. That is the same deal that was made over at Brown University. The same deal was made at University of Minnesota. Northwestern went even further. They said they were going to grant full tuition breaks for Palestinian students and immediate jobs to Palestinian professors. Why is the administration doing all this? By the way, Northwestern simultaneously decided to get rid of the Presidential Advisory Committee on Preventing Anti-Semitism and Hate. Why? Because 7 members of the committee resigned because this anti-Semitism committee was a joke. They stepped down immediately because it turns out the administration decided to undercut them by making a deal with the student protesters. The faculty and administrators agree. The elites in our country do not like the country. The elitists in our country, they do not like the country. They think the country is very bad. They do not stand with the University of Mississippi frat boys who are singing the Star Spangled Banner and trying to save the American flag. They stand with the people who burn the American flag. It is perfectly clear that this is the case. And this is bleeding down into our public school system as well. According to the Times of Israel, hundreds of students held sit-ins at Chicago public high schools in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza on Wednesday. Apparently, the school administrations have denied a request to hold a vigil after the October 7th onslaught, but allowed hundreds of students to participate in a January walkout along with other Chicago public schools calling for a ceasefire. And our entire educational system in blue states particularly is deeply, deeply corrupt. So that is problem number one. Problem number two is that colleges and universities, as we suggested yesterday, have become training grounds for activist leftists. That's all they are. They are staking their reputation on the continuing success of their hard science programs. And then on the basis of that success, they're creating essentially an adjunct left-wing activist training think tank. And that's what many of these colleges and universities are. But who's paying for the outside groups that are agitating? Well, we know the answer to that. Already coming up, who exactly is funding all of these anti-American, anti-Israel groups? We'll get to that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at a Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Today. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So who exactly is behind all of these college protests in terms of the money? According to the New York Post, George Soros has thrown more than $15 million since 2016 to groups behind pro-Hamas protests. That's not a surprise. George Soros is wildly anti-Israel. George Soros is, in fact, an anti-American left-wing radical. Meanwhile, a lawsuit has now been filed representing victims of the October 7th Hamas terror attack on Israel by the law firm Greenberg Traurig, which is a very famous law firm. They filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern Division of Virginia against AJP Educational Foundation, a.k.a. American Muslims for Palestine, and National Students for Justice in Palestine. Many of these protests are operating via funding from those groups, which is why you see the same types of tents everywhere and the same types of signs and all the rest of this. The lawsuit seeks compensatory damages for nine American and Israeli victims of the attack, and alleges that AMP and NSJP work in the United States as collaborators and propagandists for Hamas. The suit notes that both of these national student groups, pseudo-student groups, are the current version of several prior entities that were already determined by the United States government to be supporters of Hamas. The lawsuit says that plaintiffs have been and continue to be injured because AMP and NSJP knowingly provide continuous, systematic, and substantial assistance to Hamas and its affiliates' acts of international terrorism. They say that AMP and NSJP are not merely organizing to assist Hamas' ongoing terror campaign abroad, they are intentionally extending their aid to fomenting chaos, violence, and terror in the United States. We also know that many of these universities are overtly
funded by foreign powers. They're funded by nations like Qatar, that they receive funding from various other states in the Middle East that propagandize on behalf of Hamas and on behalf of Palestinian terrorism. That's where all of this is coming from. So if you have to take a side, why is it that the president of the United States cannot? So yesterday, Joe Biden finally made a long verbal statement about what's going on in America's college campuses. And he couldn't take a side, as per his usual arrangement. So here is Joe Biden's complete statement. We're going to stop and start it and go through it, because basically he is doing what Democrats have been doing this entire time since October 7th, and really long before. Because you remember when Ilhan Omar, vicious and virulent anti-Semite, was supposed to be condemned by the House, they said, well, we condemn all hate. And this is the usual formulation from the White House. We condemn anti-Semitism and also Islamophobia, which is completely irrelevant. It is completely irrelevant and unrelated. The only reason for linking those two things is to suggest that pro-Israel supporters are similarly Islamophobic, the way that anti-Israel people are anti-Semitic in general. Doesn't mean every anti-Israel person in terms of Israel's policies is anti-Semitic. It means that the Venn diagram between people who hate Israel and people who hate Jews, those are concentric circles. In any case, here is Joe Biden's statement.
Before I head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld. We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But.
Okay, let's pause there for a second. Okay, you'll notice that Joe Biden here is trying to break down this issue into an issue of free speech. Okay, this is really two issues. No one is arguing that moron students don't have the right to legally protest anything they want to. They can. This is also the same Joe Biden who declared that a protest in Charlottesville before it became violent was in fact an act of evil, depending on the viewpoint expressed at the protest. Joe Biden has no such words for the people who are literally protesting while shouting anti-Semitic slogans. He has no such words for those people, as we'll see.
Neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail. Throughout our history, we've often faced moments like this because we are a big, diverse, free-thinking, and freedom-loving nation. In moments like this, there are always those who rush in to score political points. But this isn't a moment for politics. It's a moment for clarity. So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. People have the right to get an education.
Okay, so you can pause there for a second. Okay, so he's putting all his focus here. Why is he putting all his focus here? The reason he's putting all of his focus here is because this is an easy line for him to draw, for any politician to draw. Yeah, sure, you can carry a sign, but you're not allowed to break a window. Okay, that's an easy one. It's amazing that it's taken him this long to actually make a forceful statement about it. But we all know the reason for that, and that's because he sympathizes with many of the claims of the protesters, or at the very least, he doesn't want to offend them because he's afraid that if he does, he'll lose Dearborn, Michigan, and with it, the election. Which, by the way, is an idiotic idea. He can lose Dearborn and still win the election, but, you know, he is an idiot. Already coming up, it took Joe Biden minutes to get to anti-Semitism, and when he did, it was weak. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you. Then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact, B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bagged soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Shasta spring water.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
I'm five.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you might think it wouldn't be hard to condemn the insane anti-American, anti-Israel protesters on campus, but it's hard for Joe Biden. Here's the president continuing along these lines. You'll note at this point that these protests, which have been about anti-Semitism from day one, the first spate of these protests broke out between October 7th and Israel even retaliating against Hamas. But here is Joe Biden. We are now like a minute and a half into the statement. Joe Biden still has not mentioned anti-Semitism. When he does, you'll see what he does. As always, he will mealy-mouth it.
The right to get an education, the right to get a degree, the right to walk across the campus safely without fear of being attacked. But let's be clear about this as well. There should be no place on any campus, no place in America, for anti-Semitism or threats of violence against Jewish students. There is no place for hate speech or violence of any kind, whether it's anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, or discrimination against Arab Americans or Palestinian Americans. It's simply wrong.
Okay, pause right there. That's an amazing statement, right? The protest that we're watching here is tens of thousands of students, many, if not most of whom, are perfectly fine with Jew hatred. Where are the mass protests in which there is violence done to Palestinians on every major college campus? Even at UCLA, what happened at UCLA is that the Palestinian, pro-Palestinian students at UCLA were engaged in violent lawbreaking at UCLA, and people from the community around then similarly violated the law and got in a scrum with them. But across the country, what we are watching right now is a bunch of anti-Semitic people who are engaged in violence and intimidation. And even if they weren't engaged in violence and intimidation, if they were engaged in, say, white supremacist marches, do you think that Joe Biden would be ignoring it? Or saying, you know, we don't like anything. We don't like white supremacy, and also we hate hatred against white people. You think he would be doing that? The reason he's splitting the baby, the reason he's being mealy-mouthed, the reason that every single Democratic statement about anti-Semitism has to be paired with Islamophobia is to create a moral equivalence suggesting that being pro-Israel is anti-Arab or anti-Muslim in the same way that being pro-Hamas is anti-Semitic, which is an absurdity. But, of course, that's Joe Biden's. He refuses to pick a side, in other words. As I said at the very top, it's very easy to pick a side. And if Joe Biden picked a side, by the way, it would serve him well politically. He might alienate a few crazies on college campuses. Those crazies are going to vote for Cornel West or Jill Stein anyway. What he might do is buy back a position of moderation that he has lost throughout his dumb administration. But he won't do it. And he's going back to very bad people on both sides. Here we go.
You're wrong. There's no place for racism in America. It's all wrong. It's un-American. I understand people have strong feelings and deep convictions. In America, we respect the right and protect the right for them to express that. But it doesn't mean anything goes. It needs to be done without violence, without destruction, without hate, and within the law. You know, make no mistake. As president, I will always defend free speech. And I will always be just as strong in standing up for the rule of law. That's my responsibility to you, the American people.
We know all of this is a lie.
My obligation.
Okay, I'm sorry. We don't need any more of this. When he says that he's going to stand up for free speech, let's remember, this is the same administration that put pressure on all of the social media companies to bar information they didn't like. This is the same exact administration that when he says he's going to protect rule of law, that has presided over the disintegration of rule of law in America's major cities. This is the Democratic Party that presided over that. The reason that he can't pick a side is because if he picks a side, he's either going to have to pick people who hate America or the people who like America. And there are too many people on his own side of the aisle who really hate America, who think America is deeply bad. Now, there are people on his side of the aisle, to be fair to Joe Biden, who legitimately are siding with the protesters. Among them is the communist, useless person, Bernie Sanders. A stain on American political history, Bernie Sanders. An absolute joke of a human being who's been elevated to relative power because he did the best thing any politician can do. He ran against Hillary Clinton. He says that all these people who are protesting, they're out there for the right reasons. They're out there for the right reasons. As they shout, globalize the Intifada. And as they deny the atrocities of October 7th. And as they wave Hamas flags and burn American flags. They're out there for the right reasons, says Bernie.
I think it's important to understand why these young people are out there, and they are out there for the right reasons, to protest U.S. Continued military aid and money to to a right-wing extremist Netanyahu government, which is in a destructive war against the Palestinian people.
He is such a viciously disgusting human being, Bernie Sanders. The right-wing, it's a unity government. Every element that he says there is wrong. A war against the Palestinian people. I guess that's why they're shipping in 500 aid trucks a day, which, by the way, are being hijacked by Hamas as we speak. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, you know what's incredibly dumb? Those woke TikToks that my producers make me watch all the time. But you know what else is really dumb? Not having life insurance. Getting life insurance will give you peace of mind. Knowing if something were to happen to you, your family could cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that make it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find that lowest price. Their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you through the process. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have the incentive to recommend one insurer over another. Save time, save money, provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. It's really important to have life insurance. It's good for you. It's amazing for your family. God forbid something should happen to you. Make sure they're taken care of. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Literally, as we speak, the United States announced yesterday that Hamas managed to seize a major shipment of humanitarian aid that was delivered to Gaza from Jordan earlier this week, after the supplies were the first to be shipped to the enclave through a newly reopened Israeli border crossing. But apparently, Israel is responsible for all this, according to Bernie Sanders. So the protesters, they're good now. They're good now. Of course, Bernie Sanders is fine with protesters hating America. That dude doesn't like America. He thinks America is systemically racist and systemically corrupt, and the meritocracy is evil. What do you expect from a dolt who honeymooned in the Soviet Union? Or take Mark Lamont Hill, still a respected member of the credulous left, who's actively encouraging protesters to, quote, tear some bleep up on Jason Whitlock's show, of course.
So to me, at the end of the day, no problem at all with disruption. Again, you don't have to tear up the whole university, but making the university uncomfortable is exactly what you're supposed to do. And I'm a parent of a college student, and I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay with it. Get your grades done, but tear some up too.
Yeah. Mark Lamont Hill, genius. Hey, or maybe you're like Chris Hayes over at MSNBC, and what you really sympathize with the flag burners, but you understand the optics are bad. So don't look at them. Don't look at them. Which is an amazing statement. I do love the look at them. They're so important. All their perspectives are so, oh my God, they're burning American flags. Don't look at them. That is the Chris Hayes routine here.
Seriously, the scale of human suffering that's happening in Gaza doesn't mean you must come down the side of the protesters, certainly. There are many people who think the war is a brutal but necessary campaign for Israel's defense. What it does necessitate is that you weigh all the human suffering against the actual end game of the conflict that is currently being waged and is unarticulated as of now. A conflict the U.S. continues to support. Our humanity demands we focus on those questions first and last.
Oh, first and last. So we shouldn't focus on the tens of thousands of American students who hate the country. We shouldn't focus on that, like, right here at home. We should ignore those people. By the way, again, he's lying. Israel has made very clear its war aims, the complete destruction of Hamas's military capacity and the freeing of its hostages. That's been literally the game since day one, which is why I've noticed that Chris Hayes has never called for a full-scale surrender of Hamas to end this war. All of his pressure is brought to bear on Israel. Of course, of course. Now, again, this is actually not tough. The reason that Donald Trump is doing well in this election cycle is because Donald Trump understands this. So here's President Trump's response to these radical anti-American jackasses all over the country.
Just so you understand, this is the radical left. This is a movement from the left, not from the right. The right is not your problem. Despite what, like, law enforcement likes to say, the FBI director said that he worries about the right. Now, don't worry about the right. The right's fine. Worry about the left, because this is a movement from the left. These are radical left lunatics. And they got to be stopped now, because it's going to go on, and it's going to get worse and worse. And, you know, they take over countries, okay? And we're not letting them take over the USA. We're not letting the radical left morons take over this country. You can't let that happen.
Want to know why Donald Trump's up in the polls? Because that's correct. because he's not just saying that violence is bad. Yes, we all understand violence is bad. Unless, of course, it's Black Lives Matter protesters doing $2 billion in property damage. Then it's kind of okay. But he's actually saying their viewpoints are bad and wrong because their viewpoints are, in fact, bad and wrong. They may have a right to express those viewpoints. Those viewpoints are still bad and wrong. By the way, points to Donald Trump for truly understanding, like on a gut level, the conflict in the Middle East. There's a reason that it was under Donald Trump the Abraham Accords happened, because he understands that this is a very morally clear situation in the Middle East. Israel is a liberal, democratic, free speech oriented, rights oriented state in the Middle East. And its enemies hate America, hate women, despise minorities, kill them, and wish to impose Sharia law and terrorism on everybody around them. Donald Trump understands that. You know who else understands that, by the way? All the various Muslim countries that don't give two craps about aspirations for Palestinian statehood and actually oppose them. It's only idiots like Joe Biden and his pro-Iran interior team that think somehow that a Palestinian state would be a boon to the region, which is why even the Saudis are like, can you stop talking to us about this? Like, we don't care about this. How do I know that Donald Trump gets it? He did an interview with Time Magazine and full, like, real points for Donald Trump, because President Trump gets it. Quote, most people thought the solution was going to be a two-state solution. I'm not sure a two-state solution anymore is going to work. Everybody was talking about two states. Even when I was there, I was saying, what do you like here? Do you like two states? Now people are going back to, it depends where you are. Every day it changes now. If Israel's making progress, they don't want two states. They want everything. And if Israel's not making progress, sometimes they talk about a two-state solution. Two-state solution seemed to be the idea that people liked most, the policy or the idea that people liked above. He says, it depends when. There was a time when I thought two states could work. Now I think two states is going to be very tough. I think it's going to be much tougher to get. I think you have fewer people that like that idea. He said, children grow up. They are taught to hate Jewish people at a level nobody thought was possible. I had a friend, a very good friend, Sheldon Adelson, who felt it was impossible to make a deal because the level of hatred was so great. And I think it was much more so on one side than the other. The level of hatred of Jewish people was so great and taught from the time they were in kindergarten and before. He felt that, and he was a great deal maker. He was a very rich man. He was a rich man because of his ability to make deals. And he loved Israel more than anything else. He loved Israel, and he wanted to protect Israel. And he felt it was impossible to make a deal because of the level of hatred. And Time said, do you feel that way now? And Trump said, I disagreed with it. But so far, he hasn't been wrong. And then he added, by the way, if Israel and Iran got into a war, would you join in the Israeli side? He said, yes. Donald Trump has a level of moral clarity that is correct. Joe Biden does not. Donald Trump has picked the correct side in America and abroad. Joe Biden has sold out our allies everywhere he can find a way to do it, from Afghanistan to Ukraine to Israel, and presumably in the future to Taiwan. And he will not take sides against the people who burn American flags and chant anti-American slogans and hate the country on the campus, because he wouldn't want to alienate those people. All right, in just one second, we'll get to the latest on this anti-Semitism bill, which has drawn a lot of fire from both sides of the aisle. Some of it correct, a lot of it not. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts, every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. All righty. Coming up, the House of Representatives has overwhelmingly passed a bill to protect Jewish students on campus. It's not a bill that I support, but some of the criticisms are wild. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Owner Realtors, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So as you all know, there's a bill that is designed to curb anti-Semitism on campuses, passed by the House overwhelmingly. I actually opposed the bill, as I explained yesterday. Big controversy has broken out over this anti-Semitism bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. Now, I talked about this at length yesterday, and I talked about why I have problems with the bill. What the bill seeks to do is expand Title VI protections, sort of, definitionally. So Title VI, as we discussed yesterday on the show, and if you want a full breakdown of the actual issue and why I think that the bill's a bad idea, you should listen to yesterday's show. But the very short version of that is that Title VI of the Civil Rights Act prevents discriminatory environments from existing on college campuses on the basis of race, ethnicity, and the like. The problem with that is, of course, it's incredibly vague. So I have problems with Title VI in general. What this act sought to do was make sure that anti-Semitism was covered by Title VI. It used the definition from the International Holocaust Remembrance Association, the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, as advisory. The reason that I think this is kind of a problem is because it's a pretty broad definition, the IHRA definition. You can quibble with some of the wording in the IHRA definition. And beyond that, I don't think that expanding the reach of Title VI is actually the solution. I think the actual solution for Congress is just to defund these universities because they're left-wing think tanks and activist training centers. Just defund them. Just defund various crap departments that are completely useless. Restructure the universities. Stop giving federal aid to people to study gender studies at Columbia. It's dumb. That would be the actual answer. And, of course, arrest and prosecute people who violate the law. That would be the actual answer to a lot of this. Allow universities to have their own student codes of conduct that they then enforce. Okay, but One of the claims that's being made is that this bill somehow makes unlawful Christianity. That is not what this bill does. Anybody who's claiming that is lying to you. The bill, again, I oppose the bill because I think that it is overbroad and because I don't think you should use the tools of Title VI to expand those tools any more than I think the DEI should be expanded to, quote unquote, cover Jews. DEI is bad in its essence and should be destroyed. Okay, but let's not say that the bill isn't the thing that it isn't. Okay, this bill does not ban Christianity or the New Testament or anything like that. I know that because I've read the bill and because I know things like the law and how English works. So what the bill does, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023, it is designed to effectively give a definition to anti-Semitism in an advisory capacity such that Title VI can be applied to cover Jews. So here's what it says. In reviewing, investigating, or deciding whether there has been a violation of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 on the basis of race, color, or national origin, based on an individual's actual or perceived shared Jewish ancestry or Jewish ethnic characteristics, the Department of Education shall take into consideration the definition of anti-Semitism as part of the department's assessment of whether the practice was motivated by anti-Semitic intent. So as part of it, but not dispositive. In other words, if the IHRA definition says that a thing is probably motivated by anti-Semitism, take that into account, just because if you don't know anything about anti-Semitism, you can look to the definition and maybe that gives you a clue. But it's not dispositive. It doesn't answer the question. And what's more, the act explicitly says, quote, nothing in this act shall be construed to diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Also, nothing in this act shall be construed to expand the authority of the Department of Education or to alter the standards pursuant to which the Department of Education makes a determination that harassing conduct amounts to actionable discrimination or to diminish or infringe upon the rights protected under any other provision of law that is in effect as the date of enactment of this act. In other words, not violating the First Amendment. If this comes into conflict with the First Amendment, it shouldn't be applied in that way. The act itself says that. So all of the claims that this is intended to, say, like, do away with Christianity and the, you're right. 200 Republicans voted to do away with Christianity, nailed it. Again, I can think the bill's a bad idea. And I do think the bill's a bad idea. And I think there are much better means to quash the leftist agitation on America's college campuses than this bill. Also, like, at a certain point, you might want to actually read the bill and what it says, as opposed to doing a dumb thing where you read three words out of context and then ignore the rest of the clauses of the bill. And if you want my specific critiques of the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, listen to yesterday's show. I go through it in detail. And meanwhile, on the free speech issue, Elon Musk is meanwhile under fire because he has decided to bring back self-declared anti-Semite Nick Fuentes. Fuentes has been not on the service since 2021. And Elon had said in the past that he didn't want to bring back Fuentes, and I had actually advocated that Fuentes be unbanned, despite the fact that Fuentes obviously has personal problems with me and really, really hates Jews and the like. And so Elon Musk put out a statement saying, very well, he will be reinstated provided he does not violate the law and let him be crushed by the comments and community notes. It is better to have anti-whatever out in the open to be rebutted than grow simmering in the darkness. Okay, well, you know, I agree with him on principle. On points, he's right. Right? Elon says, I cannot claim to be a defender of free speech, but then permanently ban someone who hasn't violated the law, no matter how much I disagree with what they say. This will probably cause us to lose a lot of advertisers and make me sad, but a principle is a principle. So good for him. Good for him. Again, I think that he's, Nick Fuentes routinely says terrible things all the time, including directly targeting me and you know, violently threatening me on a show by, like, stabbing a knife into the desk and talking about running me down in Grand Theft Auto and all that. Whatever. I don't care. Still free speech, so long as he's not actively violently inciting. And so bringing him back to X, will it make X less usable just in terms of not having your mentions filled with garbage? Sure. Also, that's not what X is there to do. It's not there to prevent your mentions from becoming unusable. Elon bought it to open up free speech, and he should, in fact, reinstate Nick Fuentes, as much as I think Nick Fuentes is a terrible human being with particularly odious views. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here with much more on Monday. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life,
Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Justice Department announces the indictment of Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar. Correspondent Bernie Bennett has details.
Cuellar's home and campaign office in Laredo, Texas, were raided by the FBI in 2022 in connection to possible ties with Azerbaijani businessmen. In a statement, Cuellar said, "I want to be clear that both my wife and I are innocent of these allegations. Everything I've done in Congress has been to serve the people of South Texas." He said he and his wife tried to meet with prosecutors but were rejected. Cuellar said he plans to run for re-election in November. I'm Bernie Bennett.
University of Vermont is canceling the commencement speech of UN Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield. Universities joined several other schools in altering their graduation plans as pro-Hamas protests continue to increase nationwide. A protest is scheduled to take place Saturday at Kent State University in Ohio. It's the anniversary of protests that led to shootings on campus decades ago during the Vietnam War. Some Jewish organizations in Southern California are holding events to show support for Jewish students in the face of campus protest. Jackie Quinn has more on the story.
At UCLA, the American Jewish Committee's Richard Hirschhout on KABC-TV says Jewish students have been facing intimidation and harassment by some pro-Palestinian demonstrators. One incident, he says, got violent even with security present.
This is not Vienna of 1938.
And it's different from the 60s Vietnam demonstrations.
Students weren't targeting their fellow students.
Student Gabby Lazarys with the group Bruins for Israel and says anti-Zionist sentiment is hurtful.
You are calling for the eradication of the state of Israel and you are calling for the eradication of the Jewish people.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Ad paid for by America First Tax Group. Attention! If you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-852-3467 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free, and the help is real. Call 800-852-3467. That's 800-852-3467. Again, 800-852-3467.
Germany says Russian military intelligence is behind a cyber attack.
It was in January last year that hackers attacked the official email accounts of the leaders of German Chancellor Olaf Scholz's party. Now, after investigations from German intelligence, Berlin says it's clear that the Russian state was behind the attack. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock says that a Kremlin-backed cyber espionage group known as Fancy Bear was responsible. The minister said that the Russian cyber attack on Germany was completely unacceptable and that there would be consequences.
Areas in suburban Houston are under mandatory evacuations as floodwaters continue to rise. More than 9 inches of rain has fallen and rivers are running high, some as high as 20 feet above normal. Forecasters predict they may rise another 8 feet. Two students in North Fort Worth School District under arrest facing felony charges after threats. More at Town Hall. Traffic continues to be snarled between Connecticut and New York City.
Workers have begun removing a bridge over a Connecticut highway that was damaged in a fiery crash involving a gasoline tanker truck. The demolition that began Friday is expected to keep both sides of Interstate 95 in Norwalk, Connecticut, closed through the weekend and extend a traffic nightmare on the major artery linking New England and New York. Governor Ned Lamont says the plan is still to reopen the highway on Monday morning. Crews are expected to finish removing the bridge by Sunday morning and road repairs will be made. Keith Peters reporting.
President Biden awards 19 people the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. Recipients include Democrat Nancy Pelosi, former Vice President Al Gore, and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. White House expanding health insurance coverage to illegals on Friday. They announced roughly 100,000 illegals brought to the country as kids can enroll. More on these stories at 10.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, the professors at Columbia are fighting mad at the administration because the administration dared to call the cops on the good little cosplay terrorists. Take, for example, Columbia professor Joseph Slaughter. Here's what he had to say.
I can understand that the building occupation is a different matter than a completely peaceful, nonviolent encampment that had existed on the campus for the last 10 days or so. But the fact that the building can be occupied is due partly to the gross mismanagement of this administration. It has escalated consistently for the last 7 months. These students have been attempting to get what they understand to be a human rights message about justice for Palestine out for 7 months, and at every turn they have been met with repressive actions to shut down their ability to speak, to demonstrate, to try to make their voices heard in what they see as the greatest human rights crisis of the moment.
Yes, the administration is at fault. According to the faculty, the good little cosplay radicals, the good little cosplay pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism radicals, they must be protected by the university. That's the job of the university, which does raise the question, what is the purpose of these universities anymore? Well, the purpose of Columbia was originally clear when it was founded as King's College in 1754. According to the very first president of King's College, William Samuel Johnson, quote, "The chief thing that is aimed at in this college is to teach and engage the children to know God in Jesus Christ and to love and serve him in all sobriety, godliness, and righteousness of life with a perfect heart and a willing mind, and to train them up in all virtuous habits and all such useful knowledge as may render them creditable to their friends and family, ornaments to their country, and useful to the public weal in their generations, that they may be qualified to make orderly and tractable members of this society," unquote. In short, Columbia University was founded to teach eternal truths, to pursue the knowledge of nature and nature's God, to create good citizens and good men. The social changes of the 1960s hollowed out the mission of Columbia University, mainly by fostering an entire generation of pseudo-revolutionaries devoted to overturning the status quo. By 1968, Columbia University was faced with a choice: to continue to promulgate its original mission of fostering virtue and good citizenship in accordance with eternal knowledge, or to become an activist training center. And it opted to become an activist training center with an adjunct school attached. In 1968, the president of Columbia University was a guy named Grayson Kirk. He gave a speech in Charlottesville, Virginia. There, he tore into the spate of university unrest plaguing the country. He said, quote, "Our young people in disturbing numbers appear to reject all forms of authority from whatever source derived, and they have taken refuge in a turbulent and inchoate nihilism whose sole objectives are destruction." This is 1968. That statement proceeded to touch off an extraordinary crisis at Columbia University when Mark Rudd, a leader of the Radical Students for a Democratic Society, led a student takeover of multiple campus buildings, including Hamilton Hall. Sound familiar? Professional activists from around the country, including Tom Hayden and Stokely Carmichael, quickly descended on the campus. Again, sound familiar? 1 week later, the police were called in. Hundreds of people were arrested. Some were wounded. Weeks later, another student takeover broke out. The university promptly canceled finals, dropped charges against the offenders, and finally capitulated to student demands to divest from cooperation with the Pentagon, the Defense Department. Kirk was then forced out. His eventual replacement was a guy named William James McGill, a committed man of the left who'd gotten famous at UC San Diego, having hired Herbert Marcuse, one of the heroes of the left. He quickly pledged to, quote, cement the rapport between students, faculty, and administration. In 1971, McGill said the university should take the lead in enforcing the federal government's equal rights mandates because, quote, no other part of society is as responsive to social change as we are. In 1972, when protesters took over campus buildings again, he literally refused to call the cops, preferring to, quote, ride this one out. Well, fast forward about half a century, and universities are now full-scale left-wing activism centers. The current president of Columbia University, its 20th, is an Egyptian-American economist named Manoush Shafiq. In an interview with Columbia Magazine, upon taking this role, Shafiq explained what a university is for. Quote, the problems the world is facing today are so complex and so pressing that new ideas are needed to address them. Great universities like Columbia excel at generating new ideas. Supporting faculty and students who want to get their ideas out into the world will help, but there's more to it. The chaos we are now seeing at the universities, from ignorant radicals masquerading as incisive revolutionary truth tellers, it's not a bug of the college system. It is now the point. Our universities increasingly treat activism as the main focus. They are left-wing activism centers. In fact, they recruit for it. Just look at the leaders of Columbia's radical pro-Hamas protests. Take, for example, Kaimani James, who we discussed last week. This is a gender-confused student protest leader recently suspended from campus for saying that, quote, Zionists don't deserve to live. By the age of 18, Kaimani James had been featured by the Boston Globe for his activism, declaring, quote, I hate white people. His college admittance essay compares, quote, chewed gum hiding beneath the surface of my desk to, quote, our education system rooted in systemic racism. The same activism was the basis, presumably, of the admittance of Johanna King Slutsky. That would be the student protest leader who we discussed yesterday on the program, who became infamous for suggesting that the university provide, quote, humanitarian aid to the trespassing students to prevent their imminent starvation. Prior to joining Columbia, she, quote, worked as a political strategist for leftist and progressive causes, according to her university biography. Now she's a PhD student, quote, particularly interested in theories of the imagination and poetry as interpreted through a Marxian lens. Sounds highly employable. Great skill set there. Or take Cameron Jones. That'd be the fashionably garbed, bare midriff keffiyeh-wearing off-Broadway background dancer for King Slutsky during her press conference, playing a part from Springtime for Sinwar. Jones is a lead organizer of Jewish Voice for Peace, which is a radical anti-Israel front group. It is not Jewish. It is not a voice for peace. It is funded by George Soros and the Rockefeller Foundation. Prior to joining Columbia, he was a, wait for it, political activist for various left-wing campaigns. He is, per his LinkedIn, quote, particularly interested in the intersection of public policy and activism and how both are required to affect significant change in our society. These students were likely not selected to Columbia for their brilliant academic performance. I really doubt they did well on the SATs. And it wouldn't matter even if they did, because Columbia threw out the SATs years ago and made that permanent last year. These people were selected for their activism. So were many of Columbia's faculty and administrators. Take, for example, Professor Mohammed Abdu. He was certainly no great addition to the Columbia faculty based on his famous scholarship on, quote, Islam and queer Muslims. That's literally the name of one of his papers, or his writings in the Anarchist Development in Cultural Studies Journal. He is, of course, a longtime activist. He was hired months after declaring that he was with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Islamic Jihad after October 7th. That wasn't a mistake. It was part of promoting the university's mission of social change, because that's what these universities now are. These universities are, in fact, little indoctrination machines generating activists. That's what they are for. They recruit activists, and then they promote those activists. Why? Because this is the jet fuel of left-wing movements. The reason these administrators are selecting for these people is because these people are the vanguard. This is why they're negotiating with them. It's an inside-outside game, and with outside agitators make a lot of trouble, and then inside, the administrators say, well, we have to negotiate with them. We have to deal with them. And unfortunately, this is now the position of the Democratic Party writ large. Joe Biden is in the same exact position as Manoush Shafiq. This is why, presumably, Karine Jean-Pierre won't answer if Joe Biden has been silent on all of the campus chaos because he's scared of young voters. The answer is yes. Not only is he scared of young voters, he sees them as the future. He sees them as the most passionate, most dedicated members of his coterie. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre trying to dodge questions.
I'll speak more broadly. I can't speak to youth and support and voters. That's not something I can do from here. The president has taken a lot of policy actions here that he knows that young people care about. And a lot of those actions are popular with those young folks, whether it's giving a little bit of breathing room with student debt relief. We made an announcement today, matter of fact, and we are going to continue to do that because we think it's important as families or as an American and you coming out of college and you want to build a family, buy a home, you have the opportunity to do that and not be crushed by student debt. The president understands how important it is to deal with that issue. Climate change. Something that young people really, truly care about. One of the crises that the president said he came into having to deal with was the climate change crisis, as the president has taken more, aggressive
action. What is Jackie's pretty babbling about?
You look, I can't speak to youth voters or their support. What we're going to do is continue to take actions that we believe helps all Americans and all communities.
Okay, what you're actually going to do is avoid all questions as to why you keep patting radical protesters who are doing violent things and taking over buildings while you're patting them on the head. But we know the answer why you're patting them on the head. Again, they're the vanguard of the revolution because these are the makings of the future Democratic Party. These are the activists being trained at Columbia University. Now, remember, most people are sending their kids to Columbia University because they want the credential. Because Columbia is a very, very famous school, just like Harvard, just like Yale, just like Princeton. These are all very famous schools that are supposed to earn you more money when you get out. The credential is supposed to mean something. And the reason the credential means something is because of the parts of the university that are not the activist parts of the university, not the dumb sociology department with 47 associate professors. The reason Columbia is a famous university is because of, say, its physics department. But most of these people are going to Columbia, and they're going to poli sci, and they're going to sociology. They're coming out with a couple hundred thousand dollars in student loan debt, and they're learning how to be activists. So basically, you have an activist leech that is living off the university, the actual university, and destroying it. So one of these universities become, they're basically now Hannibal Lecter. They are wearing around the face of the university, but it's been completely hollowed out and turned into a radical activist center. And it has nothing to do, by the way, with Gaza or with Hamas or with any of these people. Hamas is just a great way of showing how loyal you are to the cause, as we've discussed before. If you can pick literally the worst example of a group in the world, meaning a group that clearly its own suffering is its fault. Hamas's suffering is its fault. The suffering of people in Gaza is Hamas's fault. If you can somehow blame the Jews or blame Israel or blame the West or blame the United States, man, that is showing fealty to a really stupid cause. It's all part of an intersectional coalition to tear down the entire system. Which, by the way, the New York Times is now reporting. Jeremy Peters today, quote, talks to student protesters across the country, and their outrage is clear. They've been galvanized by the scale of death and destruction in Gaza. They will risk arrest to fight for the Palestinian cause. For many, the issues are closer to home. At the same time, much bigger and broader. In their eyes, the Gaza conflict is a struggle for justice linked to issues that seem far afield. They say they are motivated by policing, mistreatment of indigenous people, discrimination toward black Americans, and the impact of global warming. In interviews with dozens of students across the country over the last week, they described to a striking degree the broad prism through which they see the Gaza conflict, which helps explain their urgency and recalcitrance. So, again, it has nothing to do with Gaza, it has nothing to do with Israel. That is just the stand-in for a broad panoply of anti-Western causes. And again, the left is getting behind this. In that Columbia University video that we played just a few moments ago, you can see students who are marching with UAW posters. That would be like the United Auto Workers. Now, what do the United Auto Workers have to do with anything? Well, the answer is the UAW came out in support of the protesters. Why? Because the intersectional left marches together. They are the revolutionary vanguard, and they all march together, which is why the proper solution for all of this is to kill dead federal funding of student loans. Kill it dead. Seriously. Because the original premise of federal funding for student loans is that universities were places where you learned a skill set and became a good citizen. And now a huge number of departments no longer produce a skill set and are producing the opposite of good citizens. People who believe in virtue. They're producing good little radical activists who wear Abercrombie keffiyehs while pushing around Jews. And the answer there is just remove the funding. And that's what Congress actually should do. What Congress actually should do today is they should say the minor in West Virginia has no interest in subsidizing the student loans of a gender studies major at Columbia. This doesn't mean people wouldn't go to college, by the way. You know what it would mean? It would mean privatization of student loans. You know why that would be good? That would create an actual incentive structure for people to think before they take on hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt to major in something dumb. So, to take an example, when I went to school, I took federal student loans for poli sci at UCLA. Why? Because they were there. They were available, just like anyone else. Then I got to Harvard Law School, and the vast majority of my loans were loans that were payable to a private source. Why? Because private sources were perfectly willing to give me a loan to major in law at Harvard Law because my income trajectory was really, really good. And so they knew they'd get the money back. One of the weird things about an education loan is there's no collateral. That's why the federal government keeps stepping in to subsidize these dumb student loans, which means that when you default, it's the taxpayer who pays. But the reality is most of these degrees are a waste of time. Most of them are a waste of money. They're a subsidization scheme for activist training centers at Columbia and Brown and Princeton and all the rest of these places. If you privatize the student loan industry, maybe kids and their parents would for the first time actually have to consider what their kids are learning in school and whether it is worth the money. Maybe income trajectory would then be linked to actual skill set. As with everything else, federal funding of things makes it more expensive. It makes it worse. And that's precisely what has happened with our colleges and universities. Because it turns out if you're majoring in physics at Columbia, somebody's going to give you a private loan for that. Because you have a pretty good job trajectory. If you're majoring in gender studies, ain't nobody going to give you a private loan for that. Because that is not a good job trajectory. And that makes more sense. Because you should be responsible for your decision making when it comes to how you go to college and what subject you choose to major in. It should not be the federal government deciding to subsidize all of its favorite activist trainers at these major universities. That's what Republicans should be doing in Congress. Instead, Republicans have decided to push what I think is a badly thought out bill. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Alrighty, coming up, an anti-Semitism bill has now cleared a House committee. I got some problems with the bill. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blazengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So a bill that is seeking to effectively define anti-Semitism for purposes of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act has now passed through the House. It passed through with 70 votes against by Democrats, 21 votes against by Republicans. The kind of group that voted against ran the gamut from people who are overtly anti-Semitic like Ilhan Omar to people who are sort of like borderline anti-Semitic to people who are just strong free speech libertarians. The reason is a badly thought out bill. I'll explain also what the House thought it was doing here. So there is a bill called H.R. 6090. That's the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. The bill, which is led by Representative Michael Lawler, who's a Republican from New York, has 13 Democratic co-sponsors. It will codify the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism in Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Okay, so let's explain what's going on here. Okay, right now, the reason that you are seeing a lot of angst from administrators on college campuses is because federal funding is tied to fulfillment of the Civil Rights Act. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 dictates there cannot be discrimination on the basis of shared ancestry, ethnic characteristics, or national origin. Environments of harassment on these basis can remove your federal funding at a university. So if, for example, there were to be giant rallies at a university that suggested that all black people should be re-enslaved, and the university did nothing about that, that is already illegal under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that that is a violation of free speech principles. It absolutely is. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is a full-scale violation of free speech principles. As Christopher Caldwell wrote in his book, The Age of Entitlement, this is replete throughout the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 is chock full of violations of the Constitution. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, for example, criminalizes private accommodations discriminating on the basis of various categories. Private accommodations, like you own a bed and breakfast, it criminalizes that, right? You're now called a public accommodation, and now the federal government can step in and fine, regulate you, criminally prosecute you. It's a violation of what used to be a divide between private property and public property, which is why I've always had massive problems. I've talked about this for years with Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. I also have massive problems with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, because Title VI of the Civil Rights Act is very unclear. It obviously violates free speech principles because it says that if you create, quote, a harassing environment on, for example, a college campus or in a business that takes any sort of federal contract, the federal government can then remove money from you. And now, that being said, the Supreme Court has already cleared Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, and there appears to be no actual momentum inside Congress for getting rid of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Now, again, if you got rid of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, what would actually happen at campuses? Okay, you would have some rallies that were really bad, or maybe you wouldn't, because it would turn out that now colleges and universities would have student codes, and they would enforce their student codes. One of the great lies about universities generally, it's one of the reasons I don't like public universities nearly as much as I like private universities, generally speaking, mainly because public universities, you run into all sort of viewpoint and free speech concerns. Universities, believe it or not, were not meant to just be repositories of everyone's thought or equivalent. Universities, as we talked about at the very top, Columbia College, Columbia University, when it was King's College, was designed to foment particular views. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's quite good. The idea that a university actually promulgates virtue and does not take a morally relativistic stance about good and bad, that to me is a good thing. The problem with classical liberalism in general, which is sort of the idea that all viewpoints are to be treated with equal fervor. Classical liberalism only works so long as there are boundaries to the classical liberalism. Meaning that if everyone shares a basic notion of virtue, then yeah, we can have arguments within that basic notion of virtue about what's good and what's bad. But if that completely disappears, classical liberalism turns very quickly into simple moral relativism, where we're supposed to treat neo-Nazism, communism, and constitutional conservatism as exactly the same thing on a college campus. I don't think that universities have an obligation to do that. I don't. Already coming up, the big problem with Title VI, among many others, is that it only protects certain types of minorities that the left wishes to protect, obviously. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Feel the pulse of excitement as the Reading Rodeo returns. Fucking by the river, May 15th to the 18th. Secure your place now with tickets exclusively available at ReadingRodeo.com. Experience where legends are forged and unforgettable memories created at the Reading Rodeo. Mark your calendars for May 15th to the 18th. Thank you to our sponsors, Reading Rancheria, Valero, and Ford. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Visit ReadingRodeo.com today.
Experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024, Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Shasta High School Music Department presents their 55th annual musical, Beauty and the Beast, a story about a prince who is magically transformed into a monster and a young woman whom he imprisons in his castle in exchange for her father's freedom. To break the curse, the beast must learn to love Belle and earn her love before the last petal falls from an enchanted rose. Production dates are May 2nd through the 4th and May 9th through the 11th in Reading. This award-winning show will include famous music from a live orchestra. Reserve seating tickets are $25 and K through 12 students are only $10 for our Thursday shows. For more information, call 530-341-2988 or visit ShastaHighChoir.com. That's www.ShastaHighChoir.com.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Supported by Airtime Media.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Title VI of the Civil Rights Act is obviously violative of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court has not found that, but it is. It has a lot of other problems associated with it as well. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act has been used by administrators on college campuses to protect their favorite intersectional minorities. Only. So, as we all know, if these were protests right now that were being held on college campuses, and they were calling for, say, killing black people, as opposed to killing Israelis or killing Jews, if they were chanting for the elimination of an entire state, an entire Muslim state, for example, and it said Saudi Arabia ought to be wiped off the map completely, you know that the administrators would shut that down forthwith, right? Because there are groups that rank high on the intersectionality hierarchy, and those groups are preferred. Those groups are the ones you're not allowed to discriminate against. So Title VI has been unevenly applied for literally decades, which is why you can see open anti-white discrimination on campus all the damn time, even though it's forbidden by Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64 is at least facially neutral with regard to which groups can be victimized by discrimination. But in application, I have yet to see a case where anti-white discrimination, which happens all the time, harassing environments for white students on college campuses are quite real, and they've been quite real for decades. People on college campuses shouting anti-white racist slogans, that's been a thing since I was in college and long before. And nobody's ever said that's a Title VI violation. Okay, so Title VI has always been applied only to the left's favorite intersectional groups. So what the Congress was attempting to do today with this bill was to define anti-Semitism such that Jews would also be protected. Now, theoretically, white people should already be protected because, again, discrimination based on race is forbidden by Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 64. Discrimination of Jews is forbidden, but discrimination against Jews is a bit of a weird category because anti-Semitism is a category different from racism. They're not, anti-Semitism is not a subset of racism. It's an entirely different theory of discrimination. Not better, not worse, not more important, not less important, just different. Anti-Semitism, in its essence, is a conspiracy theory about the shadowy power of the Jews behind the institutions, about how the Jews are conspiratorially ganging up together in order to harm other people, and that's why they must be stopped. That's the common running thread of all anti-Semitism. So what Congress was trying to do was create a working definition of anti-Semitism such that they could then apply Title VI restrictions to go after the funding for the universities. That's what this bill was about. The problem is the bill fails in two particular ways. It fails, number one, because it obviously is unconstitutionally vague, right? It operates as yet another element of what should originally have been an unconstitutional hate speech law. As I say, all of Title VI is an unconstitutional hate speech law, but this adds to that by incorporating within it the International Holocaust Remembrance Definition, working definition of anti-Semitism. And that working definition of anti-Semitism has some cases that are included within it that obviously are vaguely worded, to say the least, and probably encroach, almost certainly encroach, on free speech concerns, the IHRA definition. So the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, for example, which is what was codified in this House bill, 6090, it says, quote, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred toward Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. So that's quite vague. So the IHRA then gives a bunch of examples. And some of these examples are, in fact, good examples of anti-Semitism, and some of them are quite vague in how they're worded or, in some cases, just plain overbroad. So, for example, here's an example of what's obviously anti-Semitic. Calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. Right? That, obviously, everyone agrees, is anti-Semitism. Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as especially, but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Again, that seems like pretty rote anti-Semitism. But there are some of these that are overbroad. So, for example, drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Now, I can see why the IHRA is saying that that swings into anti-Semitism, because when you accuse the Jews of doing to other people what the Nazis did to the Jews, it's uncomfortably borderline anti-Semitic, in the same way that it's uncomfortably borderline racist if you were to accuse black people of enslaving white people. It's weird, however, that definition may have worked better 30, 40 years ago. It doesn't particularly work well now because everyone compares everything to the Nazis. So comparing Israel to the Nazis is basically rote at this point. It's what everyone does with everyone at all times. Trump is Hitler. Biden is Hitler. Everyone is Hitler. Everyone I don't like is a Nazi. So that is now an overbroad definition. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Or, for example, there's a claim here. It says, using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis. Now, again, I know what they're going for. What they're going for is the Disturmer cartoon of, for example, an Israeli soldier who is drinking the blood of a Palestinian child, right? Clearly anti-Semitic. Or an Israeli soldier who is killing Jesus. And Jesus is a Palestinian. Clearly anti-Semitic. However, the way this is phrased suggests that it is anti-Semitic to say that Jews killed Jesus. Well, according to the New Testament, Jews did involve themselves in the killing of Jesus. Jews, the Sanhedrin, according to the New, again, I'm a Jew, so this is not my book. But my best understanding from all my Christian friends and from reading the New Testament is that the Jews, under the New Testament, the Jews referred Jesus for prosecution to Pontius Pilate, who then convicted, out of fear of riots, Jesus to death, and then gave the Jews the opportunity to free Jesus, and they chose not to do so. And the book of Matthew, there's a verse where it says, his blood be upon us and our children. Right? That's all from the New Testament. A Christian saying all that stuff doesn't make Christians anti-Semitic. I think what the IHRA was actually going for here was a different claim, which has been rejected by the Catholic Church, which is that Jews today are collectively responsible for the death of Jesus. Which is not what the Catholic Church says. It's not what Protestants say. Again, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I'm not a Christian, is that the basic idea is that all of humanity is collectively responsible for the death of Jesus. That is humanity's great sin, and Jesus wiped away original sin through his death. And Jews are a stand-in as a sinful group in the death of Jesus for everyone. Okay, put all of that aside. The definition is vague and badly worded. Okay, that is the problem with the IHRA definition here. So, the problem with this bill is that in encapsulating this definition, it strays into free speech territory. Now, as I say, I'm kind of bewildered as to why everyone is now getting upset about this as opposed to, say, Title VI itself, which wildly veers into free speech territory, but I get it. I get it. So, and I agree. I think it's overbroad, and I think the definition should not be applied in American law in this way. The solution to that, by the way, is to get rid of Title VI, as I said at the very outset right here. The most important thing that fails here is that it actually doesn't achieve what it's trying to achieve. So the goal of the bill is to give the legislature an additional tool to hold Joe Biden and the White House accountable for not defunding all of these universities. Well, they can already do that. There are already letters on the books from the Department of Education. They are called Dear Colleague Letters that say that the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title VI, applies to Jews. You don't even need a definition of anti-Semitism to hold the executive branch to account. What's more important, you shouldn't do any of that anyway. You shouldn't leave it up to the executive branch. You should just defund the universities through a political act. All you have to do is pass a law that says federal funds shall not be used on behalf of higher education. You should go seek private loans. That would be the actual solution to the higher education problem. But they're not going to do that. Again, I see what they're attempting to do, which is to say to Democrats, listen, we see that you only want to protect certain groups. We want to protect all the groups. And so we're going to add new definitions here that protect all the groups. But it's sort of like the argument people sometimes use with DEI, where they're like, should we abolish DEI or should we just broaden DEI to include other groups? The answer is you should abolish DEI. It's the same sort of argument, which is why I basically agree with Representative Chip Roy on all of this. He voted against it. He said anti-Semitism is evil. It's been the driving ideology behind some of the worst atrocities in human history. It has no place in a decent and civilized society. It especially has no place whatsoever in any educational institution that receives taxpayer funding, an issue that has once again been pushed to the forefront by pro-Hamas protests coddled by leftist administrations at colleges across the country. And again, what he's saying here is not that it's not free speech. He's saying that universities should have no obligation to admit students who are morons, which I think is correct. The bill put before us today did not have a full committee hearing or a markup. He says the definition of anti-Semitism used by the bill was created by an international organization and includes certain examples that pose First Amendment concerns. As I said, the House should never airdrop bills on the floor without adequate time for regular order, deliberation, and amendments. The bill simply doesn't go far enough. It's not good enough to merely ask the DOE to consider a definition of anti-Semitism in discrimination investigations. Rather, we should cut off taxpayer funding to the supposedly elite institutions that are poisoning the minds of our children and propagating this despicable behavior. Sounds right to me. That sounds exactly right to me. Okay. Meanwhile, what's the actual solution to all this? It actually turns out the solution to all this is quite easy. If you're an administrator at a college campus and students are violating the student code of conduct, which is what they are doing if they are shouting things like, go back to Poland, just expel them. There's a student code of conduct. You, as a person at a university, sign a contract with the university. The university can then enforce its rules upon you, just as you can enforce your contract with the university. Not only that, if they violate the law, as they have been doing at colleges across the country, don't negotiate with people who violate the law. Simply expel them, arrest them, and expel them, and it all goes away. And as for what individuals can do, at this point, I need to pay homage to the gentleman at Pi Kappa Phi. Pi Kappa Phi is a frat over at UNC Chapel Hill. They went over to a pro-Hamas protest where they proceeded to raise the American flag and prevent it from hitting the ground. And so a GoFundMe was started to fund a rager for them. It has currently raised well over $200,000. Congratulations to those gentlemen. The GoFundMe is the best thing all day. Here's what it says. Quote, commie losers across the country have invaded college campuses to make dumb demands of weak university administrators. But amidst the chaos, the screaming, the anti-Semitism, the hatred of faith and flag stood a platoon of American heroes. Armored in vineyard vines in Patagonia, fueled by Zin and White Claws, these triumphant Bohemians protected old glory from the unwashed Marxist horde, laughing at their shrieks and wails, and shielding the stars and stripes from Soviet missiles. These boys, no men, of UNC Chapel Hill, Pi Kappa Phi, gave the best to America, and now they deserve the best. Help us raise funds to throw this frat the party they deserve, a party worthy of the boat shoes proletariat who did their country proud. Absolutely awesome. By the way, Bill Ackman gave $10,000 to the bros. So love that. That is awesome. Okay, in just one second, we'll get to the latest on House Republicans engaged in, once again, another circular firing squad. I don't think it's going to be quite as successful as the usual circular firing squad first.
You know what's incredibly dumb? Those woke TikToks that my producers make me watch all the time. But you know what else is really dumb? Not having life insurance. Getting life insurance will give you peace of mind. Knowing if something were to happen to you, your family could cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that make it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find that lowest price. Their team of licensed experts is on hand to help you through the process. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. It might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, which means they don't have the incentive to recommend one insurer over another. Save time, save money, provide your family with financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. It's really important to have life insurance. It's good for you. It's amazing for your family. God forbid something should happen to you. Make sure they're taken care of. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, Republicans never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to force a vote on ousting the current speaker. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding,
At Reading Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home. With quick check-ins and non-stop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank, you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Reading Regional Airport.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communications, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked, taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is fascinating to see Marjorie Taylor Greene continue to push for her quixotic campaign to oust Mike Johnson. She says she's going to force a vote on a motion to vacate next week. She has to do that because she'd been threatening it for weeks at this point. She does not have the votes to make this happen. Here she was yesterday announcing it.
And so next week I am going to be calling this motion to vacate. Absolutely calling it. I can't wait to see Democrats go out and support a Republican speaker and have to go home to their primaries and have to run for Congress again, having supported a Republican speaker, a Christian conservative. I think that'll play well. I'm excited about it.
Okay, so apparently she's doing a favor to the Republican Party by challenging the Speaker of the House for no reason that anyone can quite discern. She says that Speaker Johnson has become unrecognizable. Which, again, is very weird since he's cutting exactly the same sort of deals that Kevin McCarthy would have. Maybe, again, the fact is that there are a bunch of people in Congress who grandstand for a living as opposed to the people in Congress who are actually trying to get things done from time to time.
I voted for Mike Johnson because his voting record before he became speaker was conservative. He voted against funding Ukraine. He was solidly pro-life. He voted to secure the border. He voted to fight against Democrats, fight against the witch hunt against President Trump. But once he became speaker, he has become a man that none of us recognize. He passed three continuing resolutions, and then he finally passed a two-part omnibus that fully funded Joe Biden's agenda and the Democrat agenda.
Okay, or alternatively, you guys kept stymieing every attempt to change those bills. And then many of you ousted the Speaker of the House who's attempting to get through the bill. And then Johnson
had to decide whether or not to have a government shutdown in the middle of a presidential election. Lauren Boebert, another one of the luminaries in the Republican Congress, she says it makes no difference to her if Johnson or Jeffries is the speaker, which is a really dumb thing to say because it probably doesn't. Because, again, if your entire goal is to get on cable news, then it doesn't make any difference. If you actually would like to, you know, have the chairmanship of the House Oversight Committee, or if, for example, you would like to be on the House Rules Committee determining what makes it to the floor and what does not, it kind of makes a difference who runs the House.
We are passing the Democrat agenda each and every day that we're here. We have a slim majority in the House, and everything's being passed overwhelmingly with Democrat support. So it makes no difference to me if it's Hakeem Jeffries, the Speaker, or Mike Johnson right now.
Okay, well, I mean, it should make a difference because it actually does make a difference. Now, the motion to vacate is going absolutely nowhere. According to GOP lawmakers, they say that this is now fizzled. They said they're still not sure if she's going to go for it because Democrats have already said that they don't like the motion to vacate rule. In fact, the reason that they are saving Johnson here, if they do save Johnson, is simply because they also don't want a rule whereby Ilhan Omar can challenge Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House anytime she damn well pleases. Mike Johnson, for his part, he continues to maintain that he has to do his job, which, of course, is correct.
House Democratic leadership just announced that they would vote to table a motion to vacate, effectively saving your job for you. What's your reaction to that?
First, I've heard of it. Look, I have to do my job. We have to do what we believe to be the right thing. What the country needs right now is a functioning Congress. They need a Congress that works well, works together, and does not hamper its own ability to solve these problems. And so we saw what happened with the motion to vacate the last time. Congress was closed for 3 weeks. No one can afford for that to happen. And, so we need people who are serious about the job here to continue to do that job and get it done.
He is correct about that. One of the rules here in politics is never interrupt your opponents when they're making a mistake. Democrats are making a series of terrible mistakes right now. On the Middle East, they're making a huge mistake. It turns out, new poll, 71% of Palestinians support October 7th still. And Joe Biden is still unable to simply allow Israel to finish the job in Rafah, in the Gaza Strip, which is unbelievable to me. It's political malpractice. The longer things carry on with Israel in the Gaza Strip, the worse it is for Joe Biden. He should be urging Israel to go in. By the way, the hostage negotiations are apparently being held up by, you guessed it, Yahya Sinwar, who's the head of Hamas. According to Israeli reports and reports from people who are speaking with Sinwar in the Arab world, apparently he's literally holding hostages around him personally because he's afraid that he's going to get hit by an airstrike. So one of the reasons he is hesitant to give up the hostages is because they are his leverage so that Israel doesn't just drone his ass. And meanwhile, the Biden administration is trying to press Israel into making concessions still and not going into Rafah. Good luck with that. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's economy is on the brink again. According to Axios, the Federal Reserve held interest rates steady on Wednesday for the sixth straight time, acknowledging a lack of further progress on cooling inflation. The Federal Open Market Committee, the monetary policy setting body of the central bank, kept its target interest rate in a range between 5.25% and 5.5%. It's been there since last July. Jerome Powell confirmed the Fed is not going to cut interest rates as soon as it had previously signaled. He said, so far this year, the data have not given us that greater confidence that inflation is headed back toward 2%. It is likely that gaining that greater confidence will take longer than previously expected. He said he thinks it's unlikely the next policy rate move will be a hike, but also if it just stays there, these are historically high interest rates for most people living in the United States. And the inflation continues to be a major drag on Joe Biden's economy. Which is why, again, Joe Biden's map for this election is not looking good. Politico noted that yesterday. They say Joe Biden's path to re-election has become increasingly clear. It's the Rust Belt or bust. So remember, in 2020, Joe Biden was able to rely on the Sun Belt as well. That'd be like Arizona and Georgia. No longer, those are both solidly in Donald Trump's camp. Apparently, according to Politico, polls broadly show Biden continuing to fall behind President Donald Trump in swing states across the country. They consistently show older, whiter states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin as the most competitive for Biden. Trump has larger leads in the Sun Belt states as well as in Nevada. So, again, Joe Biden is running an incredibly weak race right now, which means that Republicans shouldn't get in his way. Meanwhile, all Donald Trump has to do is stand there and point, and he's largely doing just that. He's either in court falling asleep or he's pointing at Joe Biden, which is a fine campaign from where he's sitting. Here he was yesterday saying, with Joe Biden, you're going to get World War III. That is not off the table.
You know, we never got into a war with me. I beat ISIS in record time.
We never got into a war. With this guy, you'll end up in World War III. You'll end up in World War III. I'll tell you what. It's this next 6 months is going to be very scary. You could end up in World War III with this person, and he's a grossly incompetent man.
Well, that is not wrong. That's a pretty good way to run this campaign. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Houston, Texas is dealing with severe weather with floods and heavy rains causing problems in the area.
Storms that made their way through the Houston area prompted high water rescues and severe flooding. In an AP interview, National Weather Service meteorologist Tim Cady says rainfall is causing rivers in and around the Houston area to overflow.
Flash flooding and serious flooding along our rivers, particularly the San Jacinto and the Trinity River basins, which have experienced a lot of flooding. That's led to flooded homes, evacuations, as well as folks that need to be rescued from their vehicles.
He also says some parts of Houston have received up to 20 inches of rain, and the weather pattern could continue to move into the weekend. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
UCLA experienced violent protests this week with pro-Hamas demonstrators threatening Jewish students on campus. Richard Hershot, the Los Angeles area director for the American Jewish Committee, tells ABC 7 Los Angeles the protests are not the same as the 60s protest against the Vietnam War.
Students weren't targeting their fellow students back then. What do we still have to learn? How to disagree civilly, how to think critically, and how to hold to account those who harassed and intimidated, defiled and defaced Royce Hall, and who turned their fellow Bruins into objects of scorn, discrimination, and hate.
Two Antifa anarchists are found guilty of conspiracy after an attack on former President Trump's supporters in San Diego 3 years ago. The Union Tribune says the two men were found guilty of conspiracy to carry out a riot. One man was convicted of using tear gas as a weapon. The prosecution said it's the first time Antifa members have been convicted of a criminal conspiracy. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
A toast to our new college grad who fills us with so much joy, almost as much as when we're in our RV. Oh, the world is your oyster, kiddo, and ours too. Now that we're covered with Progressive, Dad and I can hop in our RV anytime we want. Might even splurge on a retractable awning. Ooh, look out! Sorry, what was I talking about?
Protect your loved one with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Sony Pictures and the private equity firm Apollo Global Management have expressed interest in buying Paramount Global for $26
billion. A person familiar with the details says Sony would be the majority shareholder and Apollo would have a minority stake. The Sony-Apollo offer was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The newspaper reported previously that Apollo had made an offer to buy Paramount on its own, but Paramount's board had concerns about the bid, including whether it could arrange financing for a deal.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting earlier this week, New York-based Paramount said that the CEO would step down to be replaced by a trio of executives who will form a new office of the CEO. The White House is expanding health insurance coverage to illegal immigrants. Friday, the administration announced roughly 100,000 illegals brought to the U.S. as kids will be able to enroll in a qualified health care plan. News and analysis at townhall.com. Hiring is down nationwide, and Wall Street responds.
Stocks closed sharply higher on Wall Street, erasing their losses for the week. That came after the government reported a cool down in hiring last month. For markets, the report was a welcome sign that the Federal Reserve's effort to fight inflation by slowing the economy might be making some progress. The S&P 500 rose 1.3% Friday, its biggest gain since February. The Dow added 450 points, about 1.2%. The Nasdaq Composite climbed 2%. U.S. employers added 175,000 jobs last month. That was down sharply from a big increase in March. Apple jumped 6% after announcing a mammoth stock buyback worth $110 billion. Seth Sitel, New York.
A stretch of busy Interstate 95 in Connecticut will remain closed until at least Monday following a fiery crash. A tanker loaded with fuel was involved in a multi-vehicle crash under a bridge. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Attention all gardening enthusiasts. It's time to celebrate 50 years of greenery and growth at Gold Leaf Nursery in Reading. That's right, folks. For almost a half a century, Gold Leaf Nursery has been your go-to destination for all things garden-related. And to mark this incredible milestone, they're throwing the biggest sale this year. The nursery is blooming with vibrant perennials and annuals, hardy shrubs, succulents, and majestic trees, vegetables, herbs, roses, ground coverings, along with 1 gallon or larger and all bag soil amendments. Their extensive selection ensures that there's something for every taste and style. And don't forget about their premium selection of statuaries, fountains, and bird baths to add that perfect finishing touch. At Gold Leaf Nursery, they're not just about selling plants. They're about cultivating joy, creating memories, and nurturing connections with nature. Come visit them today and let them help turn your outdoor space into a sanctuary you'll love coming home to. Thanks for voting Gold Leaf Nursery best in the North State. Come check them out on Churn Creek Road, 1/4 mile from Airport Road. Open Tuesday through Saturday.
Today on That Wall Show, a community in Louisiana is accused of racism after seceding from a crumbling, crime-infested city and forming their own. Is this a solution that could be adopted nationwide? Also, the frat boy uprising continues in response to the leftist protests on college campuses across the country. The Biden administration seems intent on promoting marijuana usage as much as possible. Why is that? There's been yet another rash of pit bull attacks around the nation. You may think that you know my opinion about it, but I might surprise you. All of that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. In the late 90s, a veteran and father of three named Norman Browning took a job as a volunteer coach at Woodlawn High School in East Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, Browning had been educated by Baton Rouge's public schools, and he wanted to give back to the community. But very quickly, he realized that Woodlawn was very different from the school that it used to be. For one thing, there wasn't very much discipline. Teachers didn't have close relationships with parents. They didn't seem particularly interested in doing their jobs. Test scores were abysmal. And additionally, demographics had shifted dramatically. Students were poorer than they used to be, and there wasn't much of the fabled diversity that we're told is so important. More than half of the student body was black. Meanwhile, Baton Rouge and its schools were becoming increasingly violent. Currently, it's one of the 10 most dangerous cities in the entire country. Here's just one recent example of a common sight in Baton Rouge schools. Watch.
This was the scene before class began on Wednesday morning at an EBR readiness high school. Fists flew and students fought with law enforcement.
If you can be en route to a fight, it's going to be 4735 East Brookstown, 4735 East Brookstown. Any additional units?
BRPD officers and EBR sheriff deputies rushed to the school where things quickly spiraled out of control, leaving some students scared and confused.
I'm just waiting on my mama to come. They pepper sprayed me. Everybody just trying to get out. Everybody just trying to go home at that point.
At least 10 teenagers were arrested. There were also moments where students and law enforcement got into it with each other.
I seen the police. He slammed some dude's head to the wall, and he had slammed him on the floor and put him in handcuffs. And it was just beaucoup of police just hitting on the kids up and up.
Outside, a gun was found in the grass.
It was other people's phones to call out people. They had people, mamas pulling up, they fighting.
Parents quickly showed up to pick up their children, and some even got involved in the fight.
So, just a normal day at school, learning the ABCs and the 1-2-3s. So there's a big fight in the school, and then the parents show up, and they get involved in the brawl, too. And then a gun turns up, and the cops are not remotely surprised by any of this. This kind of thing has been happening consistently in Baton Rouge for the past decade or more. As the Daily Mail reports, on a single day in 2013, Browning observed as many as six separate fights between unruly students in one day. Now, instead of shaking his head and moving on, which he very easily could have done, Browning decided on a different course of action. As the Daily Mail reports, Browning decided to help lead a breakaway movement to effectively secede from East Baton Rouge Parish and incorporate a new city called St. George. And this new city would have schools that admit students who actually want to learn and teachers who want to teach, and hopefully the students will have parents who want to parent. And that's the idea. And the idea was a bit of a long shot. Other movements to incorporate new cities and secede, most notably the effort by Buckhead to secede in Georgia, have fallen short. And that's mainly because local politicians, including conservatives, have stood in the way, have prevented these people from, you know, protecting their families and making their lives better. But after a campaign that took the better part of a decade, in 2019, voters finally approved the ballot initiative to create St. George. What followed were years of legal battles that ended finally last week when the Louisiana Supreme Court ruled in a 4-3 decision that St. George can indeed incorporate. St. George will be a 60-square-mile area with a population of more than 85,000 residents. For comparison, Baton Rouge is 76 square miles with a population of more than 200,000. And so that will make St. George one of the largest cities in the state. They'll have their own mayor, their own public services, their own city council. Watch.
Louisiana's highest court has sent its ruling down, paving the way for St. George to officially become its own city. Fox 44's Nishan Johnson has more on this decision.
It's been an ongoing debate for years in the capital area whether or not St. George should be incorporated into its own city. And today, that final decision was given the green light.
They had hoped that we would get this process done. They voted in this election.
I will proceed to have conversations to determine the best course of action.
The Louisiana Supreme Court ruled in favor for the new city with a 4-3 vote. Andrew Murrell, who was a lawyer for the St. George Incorporators, said that this ruling made today was something efficient for the area.
We are open for everyone. If you want more opportunity, you want a better life, you want a chance for lower crime, St. George.
Now, a key part of the Louisiana Supreme Court's ruling is that contrary to what Baton Rouge claims, St. George has the financial means to be self-sustaining. And that's not surprising. Taxpayers in that area now known as St. George pay roughly 2/3 of the total tax revenue of the government of East Baton Rouge. But they receive only about 1/3 of the government's expenses in return. And despite paying all those taxes, St. George residents haven't been represented in the mayor's office of Baton Rouge in modern history. So in other words, St. George is vital for East Baton Rouge's economy. And in return for all the tax revenue St. George has generated, Baton Rouge has done basically nothing for St. George. They made their neighborhood more dangerous and their schools even worse. And on top of that, the people of St. George have no real representation in local government. So now East Baton Rouge isn't going to get that tax revenue anymore, at least not anywhere near the same amount. In fact, St. George residents are currently seeking tens of millions of dollars in back taxes that they've paid to the East Baton Rouge Parish government since 2019. So you have to wonder why this isn't happening more often. Governments that don't provide basic services or representation for their citizens don't deserve tax money from their citizens. That's a pretty intuitive principle. And there's no rule that says you can't make your own city if you want to. Quite the opposite. The right of free association is a fundamental part of the Constitution. So why isn't this more commonplace? Well, one reason might be that anyone who attempts to incorporate a sane, high-functioning city will, of course, be immediately defamed as racist. And predictably, that's been the main reaction from the left to the incorporation of St. George. There has been no reckoning about the failures of Baton Rouge's leadership whatsoever. There's been no discussion about, like, why would all these people want to leave in the first place? Instead, no, they're just racist. So here, for example, is a former president of the NAACP in Baton Rouge reacting to the ruling of the Louisiana Supreme Court. Watch.
Well, when you look at the basis of what they have publicly said about their argument to separate from the city of Baton Rouge, it's been based around better schools, right? Which in itself on its face doesn't make a ton of sense, right? Because you have some people that have supported this movement that have held a hold seats on our school board, right? And it's supposed to be their job to improve schools. So that notion in itself is kind of contradictory to what we see on his face. Not to mention, when you look at the makeup of the organizers and you don't have any people of color amongst them, it's hard not to make the assumption that this is something that might be racially driven. But at the same time, you know, I have to be honest and say that the rhetoric, the narrative that they have pushed has been about better schools. But I don't see how separating our district, separating the school district can create better schools.
You know, the other question that somebody like this will never ask is, you know, when the residents of St. George say, hey, we don't want to be around all the crime and all the violence. We don't want that for our families. We don't want that for our children. You know, that's what they're saying. And then his response is, oh, so you don't want to be around black people? Like, what are you saying exactly is the question. The NAACP guy starts off by saying that some of the people leading the secession movement are on the school board, so they're responsible for the failing schools. Apparently, the school board members should have used their vast influence in order to prevent brawls from constantly breaking out. They also should have forced the students to be smarter and work harder and the teachers to care more about their jobs and also forced the parents to actually parent their children. Then his argument devolves into accusing everybody in St. George of racism, of course. They didn't stay and try to fix East Baton Rouge's broken school system, so they must be bigots who just want to get away from black people. And the right thing for them to do is just keep sending their kids into these schools to try to fix it. Because that's what your kids are supposed to be doing, right? That's what you're supposed to be doing with your kids, is sending them into broken school systems in order to fix the school. Now, call me crazy, but I think the job of the school is to educate your kid, not the other way around. So if the school's not doing its job, then you take your kid out. This is one of the stock responses you'll hear on the left in response to the secession of St. George. For example, on Twitter, a black activist, quote unquote, named Samuel Sinyangwe wrote, "They're seceding from a majority black city to create a whites-only enclave in Louisiana." Now, of course, just as a factual matter, not that facts matter to these people, but what this activist is saying about the new city isn't true. It's not a whites-only enclave, because there are black people living in it. Specifically, 12% of the population is black, which is roughly the same percentage of black people you'll find in Barack Obama's preferred island of Martha's Vineyard, by the way. It also mirrors the overall percentage of black people in the U.S. at large, which stands at around 14%. So in other words, these activists are calling St. George a whites-only enclave, which means they're also, in effect, calling the entire country a whites-only enclave. Additionally, Woodlawn High School, which I mentioned earlier, is within the limits of the new city of St. George. This school, with a lot of black students attending, is not being abandoned by this new city. The point is to improve its leadership so that there's more learning going on and maybe a little bit less fighting. It's crazy of an idea as that is. Of course, if you let these activists talk a little more, it becomes very clear what they're really upset about. They're not upset about racism or whatever. They know that East Baton Rouge, like so many other cities in this country, is dysfunctional. And no sane person will want to continue funding it with their tax dollars. What bothers these activists is that their source of funding is about to go to zero. Their cash cow is abandoning them. They'll have to be productive for once and solve their own problems without taking other people's money and wasting it. That NAACP president in Baton Rouge eventually gets around to kind of admitting that. Listen.
Not to mention, when you look at how the plan on supporting themselves, it's pulling a lot of the resources and the tax bases from Baton Rouge, stuff that has been used to keep our city stable, right? So
I think Sharon Weston Broome, the mayor there, said the city of Baton Rouge could lose at least $46 million annually as a result of this.
At least, and probably more, right? So when you take all that into account, this is going to hurt the underserved. This is going to be paid for on the backs of poor black folks, right? Because
so it's pulling a lot of the resources and the tax bases from Baton Rouge, stuff that is used to keep our city stable. This is going to be paid for on the backs of poor black folks, he says. There's finally some honesty there. It's true that without St. George, Baton Rouge will probably have a lot of financial problems to deal with, but the people responsible for those problems are not living in St. George. They're running Baton Rouge, which is losing population by the day. As the Louisiana Supreme Court said in its decision, quote, Baton Rouge has arguably experienced a windfall by collecting taxes in St. George without returning proportionate money and services. Incorporation will allow the money paid by St. George citizens to stay in St. George. The record establishes the population of St. George is increasing. Conversely, the population of Baton Rouge is declining. So as St. George creates its new school system and builds out its infrastructure, it's very likely that Baton Rouge's population will continue to decline. And that's why already there's an effort by Baton Rouge activists to get the Louisiana Supreme Court to reconsider its decision. But that will probably fail, as it should. For one thing, some of the economic success of St. George will almost certainly benefit Baton Rouge in a variety of ways. St. George will keep many more people in the area, and the residents there will still pay for some services provided by the government of East Baton Rouge. But more importantly, if St. George continues to thrive, it will send a very clear signal to dysfunctional governments all over the country. And that signal is, stop wasting our tax dollars or we will leave and we will take our tax dollars with us. That's how our system was always supposed to work. Our country was founded on the principle that governments cannot lawfully tax people without representing them or working for their benefit. And with the secession of St. George from the capital city of Louisiana, for the first time in recent memory, that principle is back. Hopefully there's much more to come. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
The Shasta College summer term will start June 10th, and priority registration has started. Contact a counselor and check out all the cool classes being offered this summer. Get a jump start on a degree or certificate, or get transfer ready by taking one of the many classes held this summer at Shasta College. Go to www.shastacollege.edu/admissions to get started.
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
Are you craving a delicious pizza at a great price? Look no further than Charlu's Tap House. Charlu's Tap House is bringing back their incredible pizza deal. Every Tuesday from 4 p.m. until close, you can enjoy half off on your second pizza. That's right, buy one of any size and get the second one half off. This offer is only available for dine-in. So gather your friends and family and head over to Charlu's Tap House. The famous meal deal is back by popular demand. For just $29.95, you can choose between a medium two-topping pizza or a large plate of spaghetti with two mouth-watering meatballs. You have the option to indulge in a large house or Caesar salad. It's a complete feast at an unbeatable price. Charlu's Tap House is the place to be every day of the week from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Enjoy a refreshing drink from our beer wall and get a fantastic 25% off during happy hour. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. Visit Charlu's Tap House today and savor the flavors you love at the prices that can't be beaten.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Brandon says, yikes, I could be wrong, but if Matt continues talking about the anti-Semitism question, he won't be at the Daily Wire anymore. Now, it's interesting. I keep being told that I'll be fired from the Daily Wire for saying the things that I say all the time on the Daily Wire. So I say these kind of things all the time. And every time I do, it's the comments come pouring in. Watch out, Matt. Watch out. And the other thing that has been interesting to me is to see all the commentary responding to, you know, me speaking out against these hate speech laws as I've been doing. And there's a lot of commentary about what I've been saying. And the commentary insists that this is some kind of change for me, that I'm going out on some sort of new limb saying these things. Oh, why is Matt speaking out about this now? What's going on? No, this is what I've always said. Okay. I've always had this position. None of this is new to me. I haven't changed my views at all on this stuff. My views on hate speech laws have not changed. My views on what constitutes anti-Semitism or any other kind of bigotry has not changed. My views on Israel and wars overseas and the situation in the Middle East, that hasn't changed. I have changed my views. Remarkably few of my views, let's say, have changed. Now, some of them have, as naturally happens to anybody as they continue living. You know, you're not going to have the same opinion about everything. It's not like your opinions get locked in when you're 20 years old and they don't change at all. At least that it shouldn't. If it works, if that's the case for you, then that's another problem. You know, there's the one problem of changing your views constantly because you're trying to triangulate, not offend people and all that, or because you have no grounding, no principles. And then there's the opposite problem of never changing any of your views because you're not thinking at all and you're not a critical thinker and you're not intellectually honest. For me, I think where I am, it's pretty, you know, going back to being normal. It's a pretty normal thing. Like, I have basic principles that have stayed mostly the same, changed my views on a few things. That's where I've been. And, so I don't know what to tell you. Just, you know, you can check me on this. You can go back. I've been saying a lot of things for a long time. I have been speaking publicly for a long time, and you can go back and you can kind of track it and you'll find that, like, wow, he's literally been saying the same thing. If anything, that should be your criticism of me. Your criticism should be, I repeat myself way too much. But I've been saying the same thing on the same topics for like 10 years. So if anything, I would think that would be the criticism. You'd be saying, hey, Matt, change it up a bit. Like, it's a little much. We get it. Instead, what I often get from the peanut gallery is the accusation that, when I say something that's the same thing I've been saying for 10 freaking years, somehow it's a shift. This is a shift in my thinking. It's not. Okay. Another comment says, awareness should never be anything more than a civil social concept, never legal or enforceable. I think that's exactly right. Anytime you hear about any law that has anything to do with awareness, especially if awareness is in the title, like it is with the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, anytime you hear that, you automatically know that something is wrong, because that is not what a law is supposed to do. Laws are not designed to raise awareness about things. Another comment says, shout out to Mark Dice for coining the term anti-whitism years ago. Indeed, and very useful term. And I think a term that we should start using more often. And also, you know, on the topic of anti-whitism, there's an important distinction here that I thought about yesterday that is worth making. That, because on one hand, you know, I started the show talking about the problem of anti-white racism, anti-whitism, saying how Donald Trump wants to address it, says he's going to address it if he gets a second term. I think that's a good thing. He should address it. And then I end the show talking about anti-Semitism, and there's a law that's supposed to address anti-Semitism, and I'm opposed to that. So how could that be the case? Well, it's the case, well, it's a few reasons, but the main thing is this, that anti-white racism, anti-whitism is enshrined right now in politics. It is actually systemic. So when I talk about especially having a political leader fight anti-whitism, I'm not talking about stopping people, private citizens, from saying they hate white people. You have the right to say that. You can say you hate anybody. You can say you hate me. You can hate anybody for any reason. I've been very clear about that. The problem is that anti-white racism is the one kind of bigotry that is actually systemic in that it is written into our policies. It is enforced by the government.
And so when I want someone, when I say someone like Donald Trump or any political leader should be fighting it, that's what I'm talking about. Getting it out of our laws, getting it out of our policies, so that white people are actually treated equally by our policies. And that's the difference between anti-white racism and any other kind of bigotry you can name. But all these other kinds of bigotries, although they certainly exist, like every kind of bigotry exists. You know, you take any type of person, there are people out there who hate that type of person. That's always the case. But anti-white bigotry is the only kind that is actually explicitly systemic and systematic in our country. And that's the big difference. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops have come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number, call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474, for your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet. Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite 241-3474.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasingame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Have you been trying to make sense of local government, but 10 minutes in you already feel your blood pressure rise? Well, put down the headache medicine and get ready for a new perspective. Introducing Shasta Unmasked, taking on local issues and politics that affect you every day. Your government, public health, schools, and quality of life, unmasked and uncomplicated. With a great panel of hosts, local guests, and your calls, we can unmask the lies and shine a real light into our county. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, right here on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Shasta Unmasked, making everything local on the level.
Joint Tax Professional.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. One trend we've noticed, one very positive and a joyous trend, is that the frat boys have risen up on campuses across the country and come out to oppose the pro-Palestine protesters. And we've seen this on many campuses. Most famously, we saw the frat boys holding up the American flag and shielding it from the protesters that were trying to defile it with truly inspiring image. And I say that without a hint of sarcasm or irony. It's a great image. Here's a clip of that was just circulating yesterday, even though this happened several days ago. But here's a clip of those guys as they're holding up the flag, interacting, shall we say, with one of the protesters. Listen.
Lose some weight. Lose some weight.
Hey, don't even talk to that. Lose some weight, he says, and then he had some other choice words, which we had to bleep out. But that was there. You notice they weren't really debating the issue. They weren't getting into a political debate. Their answer was just like back off and lose some weight. And then yesterday, the frat boys again showed up. This time at the University of Mississippi. And here's what that scene looked like. So, yeah, they're just kind of there mocking and jeering at them. And, you know, on the one hand, this seems to present a pretty clear binary choice for all of us. It does present a clear choice. Would you rather be on the side of the dorks with the trash can shields or the frat boy in the star-spangled overalls? Like, on one hand, you have a scrawny nerd with a trash can shield wearing a COVID mask. And on the other hand, you have the guy with the star-spangled overalls. Who would you rather align yourself with? And who do you want as allies? I think that's a pretty easy choice. Certainly easy for me. And I can tell you, no matter who's on the other side, I could never, ever, ever lock arms with anti-American green-haired communists. I could just never do it. I could never do it under any circumstance. But we should also acknowledge that most likely, you know, most of these frat boy types are not getting involved because they care deeply about the war in Gaza. You know, most of them probably have no opinion. Now, I don't want to speak for them. Maybe some of them do feel strongly about it. I'm sure some of them do. But I think it stands to reason. I think we could probably assume that most of them have no opinion or have only vague opinions about what's happening overseas. Because that's not the point for them. The point is that they see a bunch of anti-American, anti-white, leftist weirdos freaking out, and they instinctively want to antagonize them and take the opposite position from them. And that's a very good instinct. You know, you can see some of these frat boys in some cases, at least one that I saw, waving Israeli flags also. And maybe it's because the guy waving the flag really cares about Israel. Maybe. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was doing that just to upset the other side. Just because he knew that would send them over the edge. Just because he thought the funniest thing I could do right now to these people is start waving an Israeli flag in their face. And it wouldn't surprise me if that was the motivation. And that would be hilarious if that was the motivation. In other words, you know, these kids, and we're calling them all frat boys, but, you know, they're not necessarily, maybe some of them are, but they're actually just normal white kids. They are, what we're really saying when we say frat boys on these, like, what we're really talking about are white male college students. And, so these kids, frat boys or not, they're just that. They're normal. They are advocates for normalcy. They have the most normal view of this whole thing. And their view is basically, well, I don't know what's going on overseas that much, and I don't care that much, but these jackasses over here are acting ridiculous, and I'm going to make fun of them. Like, their view is, this is hilarious. Like, this is objectively funny, and so let's go make fun of them for a bit. And that's what they're doing. And that is the right approach. It's the right approach because it's the normal approach. And I prefer that, by the way. When I say that these kids are not politically involved and don't care that much about the issue, I don't say that as a lament. Like, I'm not saying, oh, they need to... You need to get better informed. And no, I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying, well, they should be engaging in a, they should be going there and engaging in a civil dialogue, a debate. You know, they should be making points. No, not really. Because the other side doesn't care what your points are. They're not there to debate. Like, no one shows up to something like this to debate you. They don't care. They're not listening. The best thing you can do is treat it just like this. Treat it as a joke. Don't take it seriously. Treat it as a joke. You know, by the way, the left used to be very good at doing that to the right. Very good at treating everything the right did as a joke, just like as something that we shouldn't even take seriously. It's just ridiculous. And they don't do that as much anymore, at least they don't do it effectively, because they've gone the other way. Now everything the right does, they take very seriously, because everything the right does is like the end of the world. And it's a fascist conspiracy, and it's a plot to take over the world, and it's oppression, and it's genocide. Like, everything the right does, everything we say is genocide now. So they're not really laughing at us anymore. They can't laugh at us, because we are supervillains to them. And we are, just by having our opinions, we're killing people. So it's not funny. So rather than pointing and laughing at us, everything that we do, they say, well, that's not funny. This is serious. And the left was a lot more effective with the other approach. I'm glad they've stopped using that approach because, again, it was effective. But it was much more effective when they just made a mockery of everything that we did. That was, you know, you look back at, like, the Tea Party movement, for example, and that was right on the edge of when the left was making this transition to no more laughing is allowed and everything is very serious. But there was still, I think, the predominant reaction to the Tea Party from a lot of leftists was just to make a mockery of it. Just treated like, I look at a bunch of these dorks here. Now, in that case, I don't think that it was true, but that's how they responded. I think it was a more effective response than what they do now, which is to blow everything out of proportion and take it far too seriously. And so this is what's happening back in their direction. I think it's the right way. And these guys, they're exhibiting the basic male instinct to ruthlessly mock something that is bizarre and strange and dishonorable and embarrassing and unpatriotic. And I think that bodes even better for the future of the country. Now, the problem, of course, is that there's hardly anyone in politics or media or in the public eye at all who's very interested in representing and defending and sticking up for normal people who want to live normal lives. There's just not a lot of that. Instead, there's a real hatred of normalcy on both sides. Now, it's mostly on the left, but there is some of that on the right. We talked a couple weeks ago about the right wingers who were mocking a guy for having a 9-to-5 job, you know, calling him a slave and an NPC and all of that. The guy has a 9-to-5 job. He has a wife. You know, he's having a baby. He goes to work. He comes home. He runs some errands. Just living a normal life. And even people on the right that were treating that, like making fun of it. And that's a weird, strange attitude to have. That's not normal. Like, you're not being normal when you act that way. Can you imagine somebody responding that way in normal conversation? Like, if someone said to you, hey, what do you do for a living? And you said, oh, you know, I work at the office down the street. And they said, wage slave. You're an NPC. What are you, some kind of automaton? Like, that wouldn't even offend you. You would just stare at them like, what? You dork. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? It's a bizarre antisocial response. And you do find that on the right and the left, though, again, mostly on the left. And with this conflict in Israel, you really see this dynamic brought to the forefront, because on both sides, you have factions who are deeply, deeply concerned about some war overseas between people who've hated each other for centuries. And you have factions on both sides that just have intense feelings about it and demand that you share those feelings. They demand it. Meanwhile, normal Americans honestly don't care that much and would prefer to focus on stuff that matters in their own country. I mean, go up to any average person in real life and ask them how they feel about what's happening in the Middle East, and you will get some version of, oh, yeah, man, that sucks. Yeah, pretty crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. Like, that's what you're going to get from average person on the street. That you'll get something like that. And, again, I don't say that as a lament. That's a normal. It's like, because it's not, this is something thousands of miles away. There's no bearing on my everyday life. Why should I care? Why should I be deeply invested in that? Why should I spend every waking moment of my life thinking about this and, like, talking about it and on social media obsessing over it? I mean, prior to the internet, that wouldn't even be an option. Like, prior to the internet, if things are happening thousands of miles away, yeah, you might find out about them, but you would only ever, you could read a newspaper article about them once a week, or maybe not even that often, and that would be it. Like, it wouldn't even be an option to obsess over it on a daily basis every day. There's not enough content to do that with. So you really have no choice but to, there's some war thousands of miles away, you read about it in a newspaper article on a Sunday, and then and that's it, that's the only thing you read about it, and then you go about your life. And I think that's a healthy and normal way to live, and that's how a lot of people want to live, but there's just not a lot of representation of that viewpoint. We're taking a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Experience for the first time glowing wild an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024, Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up.
fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Well, disturbing video circulated yesterday showing a man in Philadelphia being attacked and mauled by a pack of dogs in the middle of the street. The local ABC News affiliate reports that there were four dogs involved in the attack. Three of them were pit bulls. The other was a cane corso who apparently, fell in with the wrong crowd. And I think we're going to have to blur pretty much this whole video, but here is footage of the attack anyway.
Bro, this pit just somebody up, dude.
So I'm glad we got the commentary from that guy. Bro, this is pretty bad. Anyway, so you watch that. The first thing you think is, where is Kristi Noem when you need her? Fortunately, I will say the man did survive that attack. It was an attack that happened to occur on the same week that a 9-year-old girl in Iowa was mauled by a pit bull and sustained severe injuries. The owner of the dog in that case was arrested. And also the same week, two pit bulls had to be euthanized after attacking a 58-year-old man in Baltimore. All three of these incidents happened only a few weeks after a 3-month-old baby was mauled and killed by the family pit bull in New Jersey. And a few weeks before that, a 35-year-old man in California was attacked by his pit bull, and he did not survive the attack either. Now, it's not especially surprising, of course, that pit bulls are responsible for all these attacks. After all, pit bulls and Rottweilers together account for nearly 80% of fatal dog attacks, even though they comprise less than 10% of the dog population. And as you can see from this chart, the vast majority of those are pit bulls, with Rottweilers coming in a very distant second place. Now, pit bulls account for 60% of all dog bite injuries, and the injuries they cause are much more likely to be severe. Overall, pit bulls are far more likely to attack and far more likely to cause serious death or injury when they do attack. They are both the most aggressive breed and the breed most capable of inflicting maximum damage. And that's the reason why I have been, in the past, a very vocal proponent of banning pit bulls. There's no disputing the fact that these dogs are uniquely dangerous. They are, the statistics clearly show, by far and away the most dangerous breed of dog, a breed that is genetically predisposed to aggression. There's a reason why every single one of us, if we see a stray pit bull running down the street, we will be extremely worried if the dog approaches us. But if we see a stray golden retriever or lab or beagle or any of dozens of other breeds, we will not be nearly so concerned. I made this argument again on Twitter yesterday in response to that video we just played, and I got 6,000 responses, and many of them quite angry. Angry at me, I mean. Not angry about the pack of dogs mauling that guy. They were angry at me, so a rabid pack of pit bull owners descended on my comment section, accusing me of anti-pit bull bigotry. And they made all the familiar arguments. They said that it's not about the breed, it's about the owner. They said that their own pit bulls are the sweetest little darlings in the world. They would never hit a fly. They said that banning pit bulls would be somehow just like banning guns. They said that there's no such thing as a bad dog, only a bad owner. They made all the arguments that I normally find so absurdly unpersuasive. But this time, I have to admit, I know I just said I don't change my mind very often, but they really got through to me. I read all these thousands of comments of pit bull owners crying hysterically because I had an opinion that they didn't like, and it really affected me. I can't really describe it. I realized the error of my ways. You know, pit bulls might be disproportionately dangerous and far more likely to kill or maim than almost any other breed. But I realized that you pit bull defenders are right. Like, why should that stop you from bringing them into the community? Yes, they might try to eat your neighbor's child, but frankly, that's none of your neighbor's business. And sure, yes, there are plenty of other breeds that are much, much less likely to attack, and even if they do attack, are much, much less likely to do any significant damage. But why shouldn't you skip over all of those significantly safer breeds and specifically choose the one that poses the greatest statistical risk to everyone around you, including your family and yourself? Sure, I mean, it's true, pit bulls are genetically predisposed to aggression and built to inflict maximum damage, but why should that have any impact on your decision to adopt one? Sure, yes, the risk you take by adopting a pit bull is also a risk that you're forcing everyone around you to take as well. But, I mean, why should that matter to you? Like, I could see it all clearly now. It makes sense. I never understood the wisdom of this perspective before, but now I really do. Like, I get it. I get it. In fact, I'm so persuaded that I've decided to take these arguments and apply them to my own life. After all, every pro-pit bull argument could be used to justify the ownership of literally any dangerous animal. And that's why I've decided to go out, and it's a little bit unique, but I've decided to go out and adopt a hippopotamus and keep it at my house with my children in my neighborhood where other people live. Now, look, I know what the anti-hippo bigots might say. They'll say that hippos are massive animals that are extremely aggressive and very dangerous and totally insane to keep at your house. They'll claim that it's far too risky to own an animal like that. They'll point out that hippos are the deadliest large land mammal on the planet, responsible for killing 500 human beings a year. But, like, that's all propaganda. I mean, it's true. The statistics say what they say, but there's no need to worry about statistics. Hippos may kill 500 people a year, but there are 8 billion people on Earth. That means that, think about this. This is what I said to my neighbors. That means 7,999,999,500 humans aren't killed by hippos every year. Now, it's estimated that somewhere around 10,000 people globally are killed by lightning strikes each year. And that means you are far more likely to be killed by lightning than by a hippo. So why should my hippo worry you? You know, you see, the statistics don't matter unless they're the weird and random statistics that I decide to use, where I compare animals to inanimate objects and natural phenomena. So those statistics are extremely important. But the basic straightforward statistics about how aggressive my animal is, those don't matter at all, you see. And when I decide to take my hippo for a walk in your neighborhood, you may feel concerned. You may feel like it's perhaps unfair that I should bring a highly aggressive and dangerous animal around you and your family, forcing you to inherit the risk that I decided to take with my own life. But what you should understand is that, you know, there are no bad hippos, only bad owners. And you might think this is an argument for at least requiring that hippo owners obtain some sort of license and go through some sort of training, given that I'm admitting that a poorly raised hippo will indeed be a danger to the community. But no, I would never even agree to that. I am putting all of the danger of hippo ownership on the owners, but also not agreeing to any sort of regulation or requirement for the owners. I hope that makes sense. And even if it doesn't, too bad. Look, my hippo is a sweetheart. You may hear all these stories about hippos mauling and attacking people, but I could pull out my phone right now and show you so many photos of my hippo not attacking or mauling anyone. How could hippos be dangerous when I have literally dozens of photos of my hippo not being dangerous? Yesterday, I put a silly hat on my hippopotamus, and, like, it was so cute. Are you seriously trying to tell me that an animal in a silly hat can be dangerous? Come on. It's ridiculous. It's impossible. Far too cute to kill anyone. This is airtight logic. And if you don't see that, it's because you're blinded by your anti-hippo prejudices. Besides, telling me that I can't own a hippo is a slippery slope. First, you stop me from owning the most dangerous land mammal in existence. Next thing I know, you're confiscating my guns, you're kicking me out of my house, forcing me to live in a sewer. You see, guns are things that I have a right to own, and a hippo is also a thing. And therefore, I have a right to own a hippo. You see, because the two things are both things. Now, you might claim that they're very different things, but I fail to see the difference. If I were to draw a Venn diagram with hippo in one bubble and the Glock 19 in the other, that middle intersecting bubble would be full of similarities. Too many to count. For example, first of all, they're both things. Second, well, anyway, like I said, there are too many to count. Now, I know what you might be saying. You might be saying, Matt, there are so many different pets that you can safely own. Why do you have to go out and adopt the one kind of pet that presents such a unique and singular risk to you, your children, and your neighbors? Why can't you just not own a hippo? Why does your desire to own a hippo outweigh everyone else's desire to not be mauled to death by a hippo? Well, the answer is, shut up. I'll do what I want. Your questions are harmful and violent. Look, it may hurt you to be crushed to death in the jaws of my hippo, but it hurts me even more to hear you say mean things about my pet hippo. Yes, my hippo can crush your skull, but your anti-hippo rhetoric crushes my soul. And worst of all, it upsets my hippo. And you don't want to upset him. Trust me on that. Anyway, thank you to the pit bull owners who have shown me the wisdom in this line of thinking. I apologize, truly, for all the years I've spent criticizing you. I see now that I was wrong. I was the insane person. I thought that you were all totally and completely insane and irresponsible. I see now that it was me. All of the pit bull critics and the hippo critics are wrong. And they are all today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Heavy storms slammed the Houston area again Friday, adding more water to an area already experiencing dangerous flooding. National Weather Service meteorologist Tim Cady says flooding has been heavy in Houston over the past week.
It's really been several waves of heavy rain that have impacted the greater Houston area. The first one coming on Sunday night into Monday morning, and then several additional periods of rainfall after that that have led to both flash flooding and serious flooding along our rivers.
He predicts more heavy rain for the area over the weekend. A U.S. representative and his wife are indicted, correspondent Mike Hempen reports.
The charges are in connection with a federal probe into Cuellar and his wife's ties with the former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan. The Justice Department says the couple is in custody after surrendering to authorities. Cuellar has released a statement saying he and his wife are innocent of all the allegations. A federal indictment says the couple accepted nearly $600,000 from an Azerbaijan-controlled energy company and bank in Mexico. In exchange, the indictment says Cuellar agreed to advance the interest of the country and the bank in the U.S. I'm Mike Hempen.
The University of Michigan graduation was interrupted by pro-Hamas demonstrators. Michigan graduates and their families responded by shouting them down, chanting, USA, USA. At George Washington University, pro-Hamas demonstrators took down the American flag, replacing it with two Palestinian flags. They were eventually removed. Later, three GWU students unfurled a massive American flag down the side of the building behind the flagpoles. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Flo here from Progressive to tell you how you get more than great savings with us. You get customer service access through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
That's a lot of ways I can get in touch with you. I see what's going on here. You can't name favors, but I'm your number one customer.
Actually, we offer all our customers these ways to contact us.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you give just any customer your personal
company
contact info.
Well, you did call us more than any other customer this year. So in that sense, you are our number one customer.
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Major cellular carriers are being sued in Hawaii.
Maui County suing the carriers for failing to properly inform police of widespread service outages during the height of last summer's deadly wildfire. Verizon Wireless, T-Mobile USA, Spectrum Mobile, and AT&T being sued. The county says it sent at least 14 alert messages to cell phones warning residents to evacuate. But the county didn't know those messages weren't received because of cell tower failures across the island. The lawsuit says the county would have used other warning methods if the carriers reported the service outages, as required by federal law. John Scott reports.
A West Virginia judge grants a preliminary injunction allowing several middle school girls to compete on the track team after the school district banned them from competition after they refused to compete against a guy. It was in April that five female middle school students forfeited their positions at the track meet when they were informed they were competing against a guy. More at Town Hall. Predominantly Muslim Turkey suspends all trade with Israel.
The largest volume of trade is going from here to there. About 70-75% of the trade relationship is Turkish exports. And let's not forget there is an economic crisis here. The latest inflation rate figures are an official rate of about 68%. There will be an impact in Israel. Construction industry sources there are saying that about a third of the cement that Israel uses for local construction is coming from Turkey, and about 70% of the iron. Israel has already said it will look for a workaround. It will try to find new trade partners.
The White House is expanding health insurance coverage to illegal immigrants. Friday, the administration announced roughly 100,000 illegals brought to the U.S. as children will be able to enroll in a qualified health care plan. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hello, this is Roland from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
Hi friends, Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor, La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses, and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Redding.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
If your pest control company has you wondering what stresses you out more, the bugs they miss or the bill they send you, then it's time to ditch big corporate pest control and call your local guys, Jefferson Pest Control. We have a combined 70 years of experience in dealing with pests including termites, ants, spiders, roaches, rodents, and more. We're local, we're fair, we answer the phone, and we can't wait to hear from you. We're Jefferson Pest Control. You can find us on Google.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Making its way around on the Internet as well, and it is a kind of, what was the guy that did it? It's like a cartoon drawing his big artist, Roy Lichtenstein. And he did these, he stole like comic book, technique to make, you know, women crying on the phone and people would hang them on the wall behind their desks at work and things like that. And, this meme that is making its way around, looks like one of those Lichtenstein things. And it's kind of fun, a little bit different, I think, because it's got a woman, a picture of a woman, a cartoon kind of woman, and the cartoon woman said, you know, I can't right now. I'm watching the final episode of America. Is that what it is? It's like they're binge watching the last episode. It might be the last season, I think, the last season of United States of America, because the left is here. They call themselves Democrats, but they're the left, and they're here. And they're here to wreck the place. They're here to destroy the place. And now it's making funny little memes, and everybody's, oh, that's, isn't that funny? Isn't that clever? Well, not really, not entirely. But they're still camped out in their own feces at George Washington University in tents that some communist bought them. We have a news media that has no interest in the Party for Socialism and Liberation and the Socialist Workers Party, putting their names on all the signs, and then the speeches. You got these crazy people out there shrieking and screaming about how Hamas is great and we are Hamas and all this wonderful stuff. And also yelling yesterday about carbon footprints and things, because once you got a gang of highly impressionable young people who are desperate to latch on to anything of value, and they find the left and the left finds them, sinks their teeth into them, starts sucking the lifeblood out of them. You know, it's what the left has done for over a century now. Then, of course, the young people, they're adults mostly. They're 18 years old and older. They jump on the bandwagon because they have no faith, no religious faith, thanks to the Democrat Party. No faith in family, a nuclear family, a mother, a father, and children who are boys and girls that grow up to be men and women. The Democrat Party is dashing all of that, getting rid of all of that, because, boy, they are not on our side. Am I telling you they're not on our side? Boy, are they not on our side. So we got a lot going on. And Joe Biden was out there yesterday. He was trying to talk. And he's not good at that, as you know. Not good at all. But while trying to talk yesterday, he mangled a number of things, multiple things that he mangled. And I will share many of those with you. Did you see the guy yelling at great Congressman Byron Donalds from Florida? Wonderful guy and great congressman and brilliant future in politics if he chooses to have one, but he might be too sane for politics. We'll have to see. But he was at an event. Yeah, so well, he went to see the encampment right at the George Washington University in Washington D.C. and a little racist who's a leftist, pro-jihad, genocidal Democrat, is true, genocidal anti-Semite, and the guy called him an Uncle Tom and a race traitor. And the guy, I think he might be a little jihadi. I think he's from another country, and he's diminutive, and he's loud, and he's got crazy stuff in his eye. He might self-immolate at any time. If he's interested, we could help him out with a gift card to Exxon. We could get, and I got a Zippo lighter here that would be perfect for the task, courtesy of some wonderful listeners that we received in the mail yesterday, the self-immolation Zippo lighter. We might go into production on those, too, because, you know, I don't think you can have too many self-immolations from the Democrats at this moment in time. Pretty remarkable times that we are in. There's no doubt about that. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And let me tell you, yeah, this meme, the woman crying on the phone, she looks frantic. Can't today, talking to her friend on the front. Can't today, I'm busy watching the season finale of the United States. Now, that's a little bit funny, But it's only a little bit funny because it's like one of my old sayings that I've used many times before. That's not funny. That's true. And the Democrats, you see, are the left now. And the international left has been desperate to tear down the United States of America, to destroy the United States of America, to destroy capitalism. And that's the stated goal of the Party for Socialism and Liberation on their website. To save the world, you have to destroy capitalism. And they're all over these protests. And our news media is the most corrupt institution in America, filthy corrupt. Just unbelievable. Yes, there was a great Jake Tapper moment yesterday on CNN, which was absolutely disgraceful, not just to journalism, but to Western civilization. And he's a gyno. He's a major league gyno, Jake Tapper is. And I've got this amazing exchange from CNN for you to share with you, because these people, let me just say these people. Can you say these people and not those people? Is that, how does that work again? Also, Bernie Sanders, who is also a gyno. He, it's J-I-N-O, not G-Y-N-O. That's a different thing altogether. But, well, Bernie Sanders is a bit of a gyno too, but he's, never mind. Bernie Sanders defends college protesters accused of being pro-Hamas. He says, they're out here for the right reasons. And then, spit out from between his teeth, and they had to end the interview because they had to go get medical attention. Amazing stuff. One of the things and we squeezed this in yesterday, but it was happening as we were wrapping up. Iran, you know, the Islamic Revolution, the Islamic Republic of Iran, they are offering free college to the Democrats that are sleeping in their own feces on college campuses, calling for genocide against the Jewish people. And just in case they don't know whose side they're on, Iran knows whose side they're on, because a university in Shiraz is a city in Iran. It's called Shiraz University, not very creative, but it gets to the point. Shiraz University now offering full-ride scholarships to left-wing, genocidal, Jew-hating Americans and to the professors that might lose their jobs. Now, if you're expelled from an Ivy League institution or any other B-pole university across America, you can get a free ride at Shiraz University in Iran, because they know whose side you're on, even if you don't. Need not apply if you're a Jew. Need not apply if you're gay, unless it's like a cry for help and a suicide attempt, because they might end up hanging you from a crane while the crowd cheers Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Maybe throw you off the roof of a tall building. I'm going to have to check Google Earth, see if they have any really tall buildings in Shiraz. I'm guessing there are buildings that are tall enough to throw gay people off of. But I love the LGBTQ for Hamas, you know, for Palestine or whatever. And they're really for Hamas. And amazing stuff. But then the Iranian administration weighed in too. They got from Shiraz free ride for students that are expelled, and for professors that lose their job. No professor has lost their job, but they're totalitarian, they're authoritarian in Iran. They're a lot like the Democrats are today. Pretty amazing. Now, more than 2,000 people have been arrested nationwide during the course of these protests, which have been ongoing for quite some time now, and started April 18th. And 45 colleges in 24 states, more than 2,000 arrests. Still no fire hoses, which I'm a little disappointed by, I've got to admit. And there haven't been any self-immolations. Lazy Democrats, come on, show you really mean it. Ridiculous people. And they say about half the people arrested are not from the colleges where they were arrested, which means they should get life in prison, 22 years, like Enrique Turia. Pretty amazing. And they're attacking. Did you see the guy? Where was it? Sprinting at the police officer carrying a shield that was a dismembered garbage can. And he crashed right into the police officer, who is an actual man, dripping with toxic masculinity. And this little fruitcake, psychopath, genocidal, leftist Democrat who may be considering changing genders, crashed into the cop, and it was like he sprinted full speed into an 80-foot-tall oak tree, because when he hit the cop, he just fell over backward like it was like a comedy routine. And then the little creep tried to run away, but the cops grabbed him, and they were beating his head with a nightstick, and I understand he died. Just kidding. I made the last part up. It's just a, it was a little fantasy I was having. But they did grab him and pull him back from the crowd, and the crowd attacked him, and they're all wearing ski masks and surgical masks and clown masks, all kinds of masks. And the masks are to conceal their identity while they're committing crimes, which is another crime, by the way. Oh, and of course, Alvin Bragg in New York has let all of the miscreants go. The police go in and arrest him. They arrest him at Columbia University. They arrest him at the New York City College. They arrest him at various other New York institutions. And then Alvin Bragg lets them all go, gives him a gift basket, probably, and, you know, something to kill Jews with, because the left is, boy, are they not on our side. And it's day 11 of the Donald Trump trial in New York City. That's the Democrats, too. Now, I mean, we know that Soros and the Rockefeller brothers set up this slush fund, right, this to do good things with. And lefties have taken it over. And this is this like the William Ayers and Bernadine Dorns and Barack Obamas of the world. They take over the Annenberg Foundation. Rich conservative people set up funds. Lefties target them because it's somebody else's money. And then they distribute it to destroy the world and to destroy capitalism, because the capitalists will sell you the rope with which to hang them. So Soros, who's a total communist and should be charged with conspiracy and various other crimes, RICO statute violations, and so on, and the fund that was set up by the Rockefeller family, the Rockefeller brothers, just amazing stuff. This morning, the NYPD is looking at clearing out New York University in New York City, as you might imagine. Remarkable, remarkable stuff. And also, did you see, where was it, at UCLA, where they were just scooping up thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in brand new tents and golf umbrellas, really nice, like $100 brand new golf. And they're just scooping them up because all the little brats just left them there when they walked away. And instead of called the university, they didn't call in homeless advocates to take away these tents and umbrellas and the clothes that were left and the food, which was vegan and, you know, non-binary or whatever it's supposed to be. Non-binary food, yeah, sure, whatever. And, yeah, remarkable. And they just scooped it all up and threw away maybe tens of thousands of dollars in pretty much brand new stuff left by all these spoiled brat, little commie, brainwashed zombie apocalypse, glassy-eyed death cultists. But, yeah, they just threw it all away, scooped it up with a front loader, threw it into a dumpster where it goes into a landfill. Remarkable stuff. Mm-mm-mm. You got Democrats wearing Hamas headbands. That's the equivalent of the Nazi armband, and the news media could care less. That's right, they're wearing Hamas headbands. And again, Joe Biden tried to read a teleprompter yesterday. And guess what the big problem is in the United States of America, according to Joe Biden? It's not anti-Semitism, really. That's got Joe Biden coming up. He needs to be taken away. He really does. And President Trump visited some firefighters yesterday in New York because he's like a normal person. We are at 888-630-9625.
Only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Oh, honey, it's our favorite leak filter trusted pro, Matt. Matt, come in.
Hi, Mrs. Sparks. You wanted me to stop by? Is everything okay with your leak filter gutter protection system?
Okay. Of course, silly. We wanted you to stop by for dinner as our way of thanking you.
Yes, to thank you for that free gutter inspection, the free estimate, and what was the other thing?
That lifetime guarantee.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sparks, those are just Leak Filter's policies. Everyone who calls Leak Filter gets a trusted pro to come out for a free gutter inspection and estimate. And every Leak Filter installation comes with a lifetime guarantee.
So it's not
not just us?
No, sir. We don't want anyone to worry about clogged gutters ever again.
You mean everyone gets this level of service?
Everyone. They just need to visit leafilter.com/WWO to schedule their free inspection.
Okay, okay, but you must be starving. You work so hard.
Ready to love your gutter protection as much as we do? Visit leafilter.com/WWO and get up to 30% off today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts. Until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchisor SPD LLC.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Why do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did, like, 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/America or text America to 511-511. Text America to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Paid for by Dr. Marty Pets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Is your child struggling with reading and comprehension? Do you want to help your child become a better reader? Call the USA Reading Clinic. In less than 20 minutes, the USA Reading Clinic can explain exactly why your child struggles with reading and how to correct the problem. In the first free call, the USA Reading Clinic will prove that your child can actually read at normal or advanced levels. Every child has the ability to become a great reader, and the USA Reading Clinic has the proven method to unlock their potential.
My heart broke when I saw my child struggling, and I thought, that's us. That's us. So I called the USA Reading Clinic, and all I can say is, if you have a child who's struggling, I was very skeptical, but I can tell you it works. It absolutely works.
Don't let your child go through their school years feeling like a failure. They can fall in love with reading. For more information, call the USA Reading Clinic at 800-200-4028. That's 800-200-4028. Don't wait. Call 800-200-4028. Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Yeah, Joe Biden gave us lots of stuff yesterday unintentionally because his brain is, she's a broke, she's a no good. But if you're a Democrat, you could go to college for free. No student loans to be paid off by Joe Biden. You could go to the Shiraz University and, you know, learn all kinds of new things. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to John calling from Bristow, Virginia. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, really love your show. I when I heard your show yesterday, you mentioned the Zippo lighter, the self-immolation association version. I immediately went to Google, tried to find it, went to the Zippo website, could not find it. I've got to have one of those. I've always wanted a Zippo lighter. My dad used to carry one, and I just thought they were cool when I was a kid. You know, I thought my dad had this really cool silver Zippo lighter. And what could be more polite than to offer someone a light?
I don't know. I don't know if you saw this, but a great couple of listeners, a couple, sent me a Zippo lighter, and it's the Self-Immolation Association, which it's SIA, which is pronounced SIA. It's pronounced SIA. And I got to tell you, we posted pictures of it on Al Gore's Amazing Internet on our social media yesterday, and it is pretty great. We're talking about manufacturing them and putting them on the Chris Plant store. We're going to have another discussion about that today because you called, John. So let me see what we can do to help you out here.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul DeNuca, and Josh Parker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bartis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the simpsonu.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's simpsonu.edu/events.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, featuring services with concentration in industrial automation, lighting, distribution, controls, data communication, solar, and energy solutions. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45 Baseball. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Reading, at Reading Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Reading Regional Airport.
Feel the pulse of excitement as the Reading Rodeo returns. Fucking by the river, May 15th to the 18th. Secure your place now with tickets exclusively available at ReadingRodeo.com. Experience where legends are forged and unforgettable memories created at the Reading Rodeo. Mark your calendars for May 15th to the 18th. Thank you to our sponsors, Reading Rancheria, Valero and Ford. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Visit ReadingRodeo.com today.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Rights were written 2,539 years ago. Also, the city of Shiraz is the city of love, poetry, and kindness. So, let's put that aside.
That's nice to hear. Well, look, Persia has an extraordinary history, of course. Anybody who's scratched the surface on the history of Persia knows that Persia, now Iran, unfortunately, sadly, tragically, but Persia has an extraordinary history, as you suggest, as you indicate, make clear, going way, way back, the first Declaration of Human Rights 2,539 years ago. That's pretty good. And Persia was a great power long before most of the world had even gotten out of bed. That's true. And then, sadly, of course, in 1979, yeah, taken over by the Islamic Revolution and wrecking the place. But, Mani, you are Persian, and you're proud of your culture and your history, and it's terrible what has happened and what's going on there. I know that you believe that. But, yeah, the offering at Shiraz, and I got to say, first of all, Persian food is great, but I love that Shirazi salad. Shirazi salad is one of my favorites from Shiraz. Yeah. And the scholarships being offered by Shiraz University and in Tehran kind of tell you a lot about what's going on here in the United States. Am I right, Mani?
Well, first of all, it's not by the people. It's the regime. You see, Iran right now, for the last 45 years, 400 years, the regime has been there.
1979, the Islamic Revolution.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We call them political Shiism regime, mm-hmm, who was established in Iran by a coup d'etat. So mm-hmm, there wasn't a revolution. I was there. I was living. I was working for the government of Iran. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but right now, Iran is there are two Irans. One is the people of Iran who are pro-Israel. The next one is the regime, political Shiism regime, that is pro-Hamas because Yasser Arafat brought Khomeini to Iran. Yasser Arafat was Khomeini's first guest who came to Iran without a passport. I was there at that time, and received $63 million from Khomeini before he left, went to Paris and bought a palace. But the whole issue is that this regime has been, the people of spending the money of the people of Iran on Hamas all these years. Hamas is what the regime of Iran has made.
Right.
And Hamas, and that's why the Democrats don't want to pay any attention to the whole issue. And when they, at one of the football, soccer games, when the people of Iran were there watching the game, the regime put the flag of Hamas, up, and all of a sudden, all these thousands of people who are watching the football, they stood up and pointed finger at the flag and said, "Put your flag, and I don't want to continue the rest of it." And they
put it up somewhere,
watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, of course. Mm-hmm. So anyway. And they stopped the whole game, everything, until they put the flag down. The regime was forced to put. Right now in Iran, in every city, people are standing up with Israel. It's the regime that hates Israel. And because, you know, I just told you what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what matters, of course. The regime is what matters until there is a counter-revolution, another revolution to, and it would be a terrible and bloody revolution because the political Shia, who have implemented this political Shiism that you're talking about, they would be very brutal, and they've proved during Barack Obama's time in the White House that they would be very brutal, and Barack Obama did not back the people during the Green Revolution in Iran just a handful of years ago. The Democrats didn't back the people. The Democrats backed the regime there, right? And let me say this, Monty. I think that the most dangerous regime in the world is not the Iranian regime, the Islamic Revolution in Tehran. I think the most dangerous regime in the world right now is the Democrat Party in the United States of America, because, you know, without the world, without America to be a moral leader, a moral rudder to stand up for people, the people of Iran during the Green Revolution, for example. But today, the Democrat Party, which is in power in the White House and the Senate and elsewhere, certainly they own the bureaucracy, and they're in bed with the political Shia in charge of Iran right now. They are the people that are fueling these protests on college campuses. They're the people that are raising this generation of glassy-eyed zombies and rolling out the zombie apocalypse in the United States, which is a greater threat to the world and to global stability than the Iranian regime could ever be. But Monty, I do want to share, because I haven't really gotten into it. I've mentioned it, but I haven't gotten into it. Newsweek fake news magazine, Iran University offers scholarships to expelled U.S. students. And I think this is a brilliant PR move by the people at Shiraz University and by Iran, by the Islamists who are here to destroy Western civilization and certainly to wipe Israel off the map from the river to the sea. And they recognize allies when they see them, and their allies are the Democrat Party. Joe Biden gave them $6 billion in exchange for 5 hostages that they had been holding. And we used to have a saying here that we don't negotiate with hostages, and we don't pay for we don't negotiate with terrorists, I'm sorry, and we don't pay for the release of hostages. But Joe Biden blew that up, and Barack Obama gave them billions and freed up tens of billions more so they could fuel the Islamic Revolution worldwide, did Barack Hussein Obama, who was mentored by a communist as a young man, communist named Frank Marshall Davis. But back to Newsweek magazine, if I could promote. The head of a university in Iran is offering scholarships to students in the U.S., who have been expelled for taking part in pro-Palestinian demonstrations. Newsweek magazine calls them pro-Palestinian demonstrations. That's what they are. On campuses, Mohammed Moazini, head of Shiraz University in the southern region of Fars, extended his proposal to those protesting Israel's actions in its war against Hamas. Newsweek magazine being very friendly in their phrasing. Following clashes between demonstrators and law enforcement across America. Now, he says students and even professors who have been expelled or threatened with expulsion can continue their studies at Shiraz University. And I think that other universities in Shiraz as well as Fars province are also prepared to provide these conditions, he said, according to the Iranian state-owned TV outlet Press TV. U.S. students have been facing arrest or expulsion following their actions in support of a ceasefire in Gaza. No, they're chanting from the river to the sea. That is not advocating a ceasefire with a terrorist army that is dedicated to genocide. But Newsweek magazine, Hatui Filth, and the divestment of their universities from companies which support Israel. All support for Israel must be erased because, why is that, Michael? There are Jews there. That's why, because there are Jews there. And so it is a massive anti-Semitic movement inside the United States. And the Democrats are 100% responsible for this, but they will not be held responsible, obviously, by Newsweek magazine or the rest of our corrupt news media. Now, since April 18th, this Newsweek article says more than 1,000 people have been arrested. It's more than 2,000 people as of today. At more than 25 campuses, it's more than 45 campuses now. In at least 21 states, it's now 24 states. But Newsweek magazine, they just figure things out as they go along. They don't cover the news and they don't report it. And it's remarkable stuff. Now, Monty, What should we as Americans make of what's going on these college campuses and who's behind it? And I'm running out of time, so if you could kind of quickly, who's responsible for this? Who should we hold responsible for what's going on campus?
Well, what's going on, I don't call it Democratic Party. I said D does not stand for Democrat. It stands with dictator.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dictatorial party, not a Democratic Party.
Yeah, it is.
And they're hiding behind that word. So these are the Democrats, and I presume, I know that the people behind the regime of Iran are the same people who are behind the what's going on in the country that I took refuge to for freedom and humanity, but they are destroying it.
Yeah, they're destroying it. You're
I know
right.
the same people, George Soros and the kinds, and the Islamic regime, and the professors that the Islamic regime has put in universities in America to teach Islam, they are all behind all of this is going on. And yep. The kids, they're stupid.
And the kids, they're stupid. No, that's right, because they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated by the left, by the dictatorial party. And as you just said, Money, you came here, you fled the regime in Iran, and you came here for freedom, and they are destroying it. Honestly, as America is on the ropes, and the Democrat Party is our most important foe, rival, threat. The Democrat Party is undoing the United States of America. You may recall Barack Obama, Mani, declaring that with him in power, we would see the fundamental transformation of America. And we're watching the fundamental transformation of America. The left is here to destroy. They live and breathe contempt for the United States of America, for capitalism. Again, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. The main page of their website is, to save the world, we have to destroy capitalism. They're all over these protests. Their signs are in plain sight. The news media can't see because they're willfully blind and profoundly corrupt. Because they're members of the dictatorial party, Mani, and you're right. We're on the ropes. We must save America. It is time for good men and women to stand up for civilization itself. The forces arrayed against us, including the Democrat Party and these brainwashed, glassy-eyed zombies on college campuses, are here to destroy not just capitalism and the United States and the Bill of Rights, but civilization itself. That's all. You know, it's not like anything important is at stake. Israel represents civilization there. We represent macro civilization worldwide. Real human rights, real freedom, real liberty. The left holds those very concepts in contempt, and they are here to dismantle them. They have secured great power, and they're undertaking that effort very effectively right now. We must stand and combat them. We must win this fight for all of humankind. Don't want the 21st century to slip us into a new dark age, which is literally what the world is facing right now because of primarily the Democrat Party, so-called, in the United States of America.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care. And that's MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month switching to MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. And that's because MediShare works. It's been around for more than 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge PPO network. So Yeah, really, you could save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or you're part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage. N-A-V-A-G-E.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here to invite you to a special financial briefing this Thursday. As a former CIA officer, I've used my expertise to protect myself, my country, and my family from threats for decades. Now I'm recommending all Americans take action to guard their personal and financial security from threats to the U.S. dollar. That's what Thursday's exclusive Financial Security Summit will focus on. You'll get top strategies for safeguarding your wealth no matter what challenges may come our way. During this summit, you'll discover how to create a bulletproof financial plan that can potentially withstand the death of the dollar and possibly even thrive in the face of an economic collapse. Call my friends at Advantage Gold today at 800-741-GOLD to register at no cost whatsoever. In today's uncertain times, it's critical to have a solid plan in place to protect your finances. Call 800-741-GOLD now to register for this 100% free event. Again, 800-741-GOLD.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-894-6680. That's 800-894-6680. Again, 800-894-6680.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. More than just a walk, Moving Day is a fun experience that unites the community in the fight against Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's doesn't stop, and neither will we. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register for an event in your area at movingdaywalk.org. That's movingdaywalk.org.
Furnished by Parkinson's Foundation.
At Columbia University, the Law Review, they're demanding that they cancel exams after because they feel irrevocably shaken. They're shaken. Yeah. Good thing we didn't have to call on you guys to storm the beaches at Normandy, I guess, you bunch of frou-frous. Dress like men, you know? Eat cheeseburgers. Shut up, bunch of... Let's go to a telephone call. I've got so many amazing stories today. It's just how many will I be able to get to is the only question. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Barry calling from Frederick, Maryland. Barry, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, I'm sure you remember as I do 9/11, 2001, when the towers were falling down. There was video of Palestinians in the street celebrating like they had all just won the lottery. And I'll never forget this one hideously ugly, disgusting Palestinian woman in a black hijab doing that ugly tongue yodel of ecstasy. Because right. She was so happy that the towers had just fallen down.
Totally.
These are the people they want to bring to the United States of America. You would only do that if you hate this country. And it's like you've said so eloquently, the Democrats, they're not on our side. That's the only reason you would bring those monsters into this country.
I'm looking at the video of the woman with the black hijab and the big glasses doing the odelations on September 11th, 2001, right now. Thanks to Al Gore's amazing internet and the patriarchy, of course, for which we are all very thankful. Joe Biden just announced the other day, we're going to declare Palestinians to be refugees and start flowing Palestinians into the country from the Gaza. And he's promising to give the Gaza, which means Hamas, because they elected a terrorist organization called Hamas, which is hell-bent on genocide of the Jews, like the Democrat Party. He promised to give them $1 billion just the other day. What do you think is up with Joe Biden, Barry?
I think he's just being fulfilling Barack Obama's promise to fundamentally transform the country.
Yeah, I think that's right. The open borders and the crime waves. And then they tell you, no, there is no crime. Crime is down.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.